previously on the Steve Cochran Show.
The Rocky Laporte joins me now. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Hey, what you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing good, Steve. I'm excited. And you know, a little while ago when Andrew was doing the weather, she said it's going to be scattered showers on and off.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
What time are they going to be on? Didn't she...
Rock's looking for specifics.
Rocky, what time do you need them? What time do you need them on?
I need them off between like 11 and 11:30.
Okay. 11:30. You know, ironically, they're going to be on between 11 and 11:30 today.
Oh, you're killing me.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning, 5:10 in the morning, 720 WGN. Happy Christmas Eve morning to everybody. One more day till Christmas. Santa Claus getting everything ready on the sleigh to make the big journey tonight. Do you watch Santa on the Nordic Tracker?
Oh, yeah. I'll keep track. I just hope he really ties everything down good on the sled, because it's going to be a little bumpy.
Plus, it's been windy.
Well, that's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We were fortunate enough to have Santa Claus on yesterday, taking some of our adult phone calls.
Yeah, I still am not optimistic that he's going to come through for me.
Why do you say that?
Well,
You're on the nice list.
I asked for the massage half man, half reindeer.
Yes, it was the Minotaur.
Minotaur. You called him a Minotaur.
He was a Minotaur because he was half man, half beast. Yes. Right?
But the hooves hurt when you're getting a massage.
Right, right. Yes. We learned a lot about Santa Claus yesterday.
We did.
Boy, who knew?
Mm-hmm.
Who knew? But I think he's much gentler and softer with the children. So I think
That'll
be fine.
Otherwise, it'll be a rough Christmas for a lot of kids.
Well, we got a big show for you today. Thank you, Vic Vaughn, handing me everything I left upstairs. Vic, you're awesome. Love you.
Yes.
Love your show. I love Vic Vaughn. He's the best. In our newsroom.
Nick's great.
Dave's here. Nick's going to talk movies with us after 5:30 as well, because we normally do that on Mondays and Fridays, but hence today being Thursday, and we are all off tomorrow for Christmas. We're going to have our Christmas programming. Please tune in for that. We're going to be talking about that throughout the day as well. Mary's in traffic. Big O is here. Kevin Powell producing the program today. Steve will be here in just a few minutes as well. So let's kick everything off. Let's see. We have Dave Kaplan today. Blackhawks tickets we're giving away. Dan Hampton, Dean, of course, and I'm being told that we might touch base with Santa Claus again.
Isn't he kind of busy?
Yeah. Well, he'll be en route, I think. I mean, if you kind of think about this, he's probably hitting Australia right about now, because
right.
they're about 15 hours ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
So he could be hitting, you know, the Sydney children.
Be about 8 o'clock,
children.
9 o'clock at night.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you hear the yesterday Lisa Madigan weighing in on the illegal gambling?
I did.
Not good. Her opinion is good because it's the law,
right.
But what it is not very good.
It's not good if you are a fantasy football player who uses those online services like DraftKings and FanDuel.
For money. Which we don't. We just get cheap trophies that I broke and
glued
back together.
We don't
even
use either of those.
No, we don't use either of those sites.
Except for the illegal gambling pool upstairs.
Yeah, the one that you guys do, the one in the hallway. All right, would that cost? I mean, I know you guys talk
that's
about
really
that.
Just charity. That's just giving money away.
I thought it was taking money and just throwing it on Michigan Avenue and watching the wind blow it away.
Pretty much.
Okay. But no, Lisa Madigan weighing in on this. It was a 15-page opinion, actually, noted that criminal code prohibits the playing of both games of chance and skill for money. So anytime you do any of that online, for money, that's illegal. Sorry.
Well,
be nervous. It's okay, because yours is for charity.
That's exactly right. I'm not nervous, but I do think that there are a lot of people who are going to, and I mentioned this the other day, mm-hmm. because of what's happened in New York, and we have this little game on FanDuel, and they asked me to reconfirm my information so that I could enter my team this past week, and I would not put my social security number in there on their website.
No, don't do that.
And so they wouldn't let me enter.
Oh, see? So you saved yourself by saving yourself.
I falsified my social security number. I'm not going to put my social
you
security number.
You put a fake social security number in there?
Well, I just wanted to see if I could just enter my team.
Kev, get Lisa Madigan on the phone. Wake her up. She's probably getting the kids up about now.
All right.
And let her know that our sports director and sports anchor extraordinaire Dave Ennett is putting fake social security numbers into a FanDuel and DraftKings.
Not DraftKings.
Just FanDuel.
And the only reason I did it because I didn't want to put my personal information in
there. Oh, because you're listening to what Steve Burness says, one of our other guests, about you don't put your private information
in. So you chose somebody else's?
No, I made one up. It was like 555-121.
Oh, yeah, 555.
You know what? I bet somebody has that number. Somebody out there has to have 111-11.
Well, here's what concerned me was then it wouldn't allow me to enter because it said this information doesn't compute. So they know what my social security number is already,
which
is even more frightening.
On every level, I'll tell you. Right. So we'll be talking about that throughout the morning as well. Also, there's a Black Lives Matter protest blocked the Minneapolis airport. They were turned away from the Mall of America yesterday, but the Black Lives Matter protest migrated to the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, causing significant traffic delays.
Which is right across the street.
Yeah. And speaking of delays, delays at O'Hare and Midway yesterday because of the fog and those long lines. Many people, I should say, opting to fly on Christmas morning, that's looking like the better choice right about now. Because those lines at O'Hare, boy, those were crazy. There were a lot. Tanya Francisco was out there covering it. She said there were lines on top of lines on top of lines just to get in the line, which wrapped around and stretched outside of both airports.
So TSA
line tomorrow at I won't say what time.
Yeah, don't say.
TSA pre-check didn't help much.
No, right? I know.
I'm guessing. Well, that line is getting longer than the other
Right,
line.
It is.
Thank you.
Sometimes it is longer.
Thank you for
now.
That, too. That was Dave Edit's suggestion, TSA pre-check. So,
most of the time it's good.
Most of the time it's great. And also, too, unless you're flying, say, Frontier or Spirit, because they don't accept you. I was trying to reason with the security officer at O'Hare, and they didn't listen to me. They didn't care.
Well, explain a little how you tried to reason. What did you say?
Please let me up to the front. My flight's about to leave because I was running late when I got in the security line.
And they said?
That's what they said. They said, too bad. Too bad, so sad. Go get in the line with everybody else. So I had
did you make your
it.
Flight?
I went up to him again and tried to reason with him again. And then I went up again. I did make my flight, barely.
Did you tell him who you were?
No. I don't think that would have mattered. He would have gone, who? Again. In the morning, 720 WGN. The great Steve Cochran joins us. Hi, Steve.
I am surprised you're awake. How long were you on TV yesterday?
I was there until about 9 o'clock yesterday.
All right, so let's just go over your schedule yesterday. You know, as people know, this is coal mining.
Yes.
But you did it. Got up, did the 5 o'clock show, mm-hmm. did the regular show.
Yes.
And then did you go home before you went to TV?
I went home to change because I had to put on a little more, you know, businessy attire.
So it's not like you went home and took a nap?
No. And then it was pouring rain, so I tried to leave a little early to get to TV a little early.
And then you were anchoring CLTV between 1 and 9?
Yeah, we started about 2 o'clock. So 2, had a little bit of a break to get some dinner. Kevin would have been proud. I did the fast food industry proud yesterday for my dinner.
Well done by you. What'd you
get? Thank you, Kevin. I went to Wendy's, got a junior bacon cheeseburger.
You told me you were going to Chipotle.
I know. I couldn't. After I did the E. coli story.
Well, this is definitely the point of the story. But the point is, you're working your butt off. So you go from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m.?
Yes.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
That's a lot of work.
And
that's
then
that is, what is that, 12? That's about 16 hours of broadcasting.
It was a lot of broadcasting. It was a lot of broadcasting. It was fun, though. And then after your show today, Amy Guth and I are in from 10 to noon.
So should we set up a phone bank where we're raising money for your, you know, for you or something? Because you're kind of doing telephone hours.
No, I'm off next week, though. I think you're off, too, next week. So
Yeah, exactly right.
I'll catch up on the hours next week.
Yeah, and by the way, we'll talk about this. The 5 o'clock hour is going to change, and we'll talk about this coming up. But in the meantime, I was just knocked out by that. Now, they asked you to do this like every day.
Wait, say it again, Steve. We'll say it again.
Didn't they ask you to do this, like, today, tomorrow, the next day? Weren't they Weren't they trying to get you to do the 1 to 9 thing like every day for several days?
They were, yeah, because a lot of people are on vacation. So we were trying to step up and help them out. But I can't do it today, obviously, because I'm going to be here with Amy. And tomorrow's Christmas Day, so I'm going to be with the family tomorrow.
Yeah, but you did tell them, you know, we got to let people at Channel 9 know that we are doing a radio show every morning. It's very highly rated.
Very highly,
and
yes.
They should listen to that because you're working there. Listen, I think we need to get you, there's not many of these left, but we need to get you a paper route as well. Run around and drop off some papers.
I think, yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Andre needs a manager. Steve, you need to be your manager.
I do, Steve.
No, she's all over the place.
A manager. That'd be awesome.
What time did you leave Channel 9 last night?
I left a little bit before 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
I'd been there almost 8 hours.
Yeah, and I guess I left there about 10:30.
Yeah, well, you went home and took a nap.
Dave, you went home for your typical six-hour crypt nap where you lay in
your took a nap.
No such thing.
You got a little time to, you know, eat some kale, take a nap.
Don't you guys have wrapping and shopping and everything else to do?
I was doing that about 11:30 last night.
Oh, gee, Andrea, you're nuts.
So at some point around, be listening around 8:30 today when Andrea loses it and starts drooling.
Start to crash. No, it's okay. It's fun. We love what we do,
better
though.
Bring in the eggnog.
Yeah, no, listen, it's better than real work. That's true.
That's true.
Hey, I wanted to let people know that your massive television schedule yesterday will not impact the show today. And nice job by you.
Thank you, Steve. It's fun.
All right, I am going to join you guys in just a moment. I'm trying to drag gifts out of my car upstairs, and boy, this is a lot of booze. I'll see you in a second. And yeah, if anything spills in the elevator, it's going to smell like a Benny's for the next several weeks.
Do you need help? We can send. Who's here? Sean? Is Sean here, Kev? We can send Sean down to help.
Yeah, you know what? That's not a bad idea.
Okay,
Can help.
So have him. Yeah. Have him meet me at the place where Al Capone used to bring in the black market stuff.
Dave heard booze and just jumped in and said he's ready to help you bring it in,
Steve. No, I heard that you needed help, and I offered to come help.
Yeah, did Dave do that thing like the dog in the movie where he goes, squirrel?
I totally did, yes. I've never seen him jump so fast.
All right, I'll see you guys in a second. And booze on the way. Not for you listeners, though. You guys have to focus. All right, see you in a minute.
All right, sounds good. That's the great Steve Cochran. He'll be here momentarily. All right, now we all know what we're getting.
Get going, Dave.
What liquor going on there? Mm-hmm. I'm going to pop into some of that. Hey, by the way, did you guys see they named the 2015 Chicagoans of the Year? I think everybody here came in a distant second, because I don't see any of our names on any of these lists. Chicagoan of the Year in pop music was Chance the Rapper. Chicago, you know, Chance the Rapper is very cool. He's very groundbreaking,
okay.
Or so I'm told. Chicagoan of the Year in Theater, William Polinski of the Theater at the Center. Chicagoans of the Year in Architecture, Michelle Boone and Sarah Herta. And Chicagoan of the Year in Museums, Bill Stanley with the Field Museum, bringing a lot of great exhibits there, including the Grateful Dead exhibit over the summer and the Greeks, which is very cool. And I'm not just saying that because of my heritage and my people. If you guys have a chance to get to the Field Museum and see this exhibit, it's wonderful. It's artifacts from, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago that they have just unearthed. And for the first time, they are in North America. So that's pretty cool as well. Let's see who else. Chicagoan of the Year in Jazz, composer and band leader Tamika Reed. And Chicagoan of the Year in Art was Sabina Ott. And Chicagoan of the Year in Dance, the Seldoms. And that is Carrie Hansen's. The Seldom's Carrie Hansen. So congratulations to all the 2015 Chicagoans of the Year. As I said, we are not on that list, but that's okay because we know in our hearts who we are, right? Okay, I got nothing. Nothing. We almost made that list.
Almost. Yeah? How long was the list?
How do you know?
It's a short list.
Big O should be on there.
It's a short list. Yeah, Maureen, you should be a Chicagoan of the Year. Maybe you have to live in Chicago or...
Oh.
I don't know.
1964, I was Chicagoan of the Year in Agriculture.
There you go, see? So, wasn't
that millennium ago?
Wasn't that long ago.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner you hear
Tiffy, and we continue with show number 557. Good morning, Nick.
Morning.
How are you?
All right.
What are you doing for Christmas?
Nothing.
What do you mean nothing? Not hanging with your mom and dad?
Yeah, hanging with my mom and dad. And actually, my cousin is coming in from out of town on Christmas Day.
What do you get your dad for Christmas?
Well, I don't want to say because...
He's probably listening.
He's probably listening.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
I don't want
to. What do you get your mom? She's not listening.
Yeah.
She's a big Eric and Kathy fan, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, yeah.
She doesn't listen to me on the overnights. Are you kidding?
So, do they get up and listen?
They do.
How great is that?
Yeah.
Your parents are good people. I've been telling
yes,
you that for
are.
Years. When are you going to start listening to them?
I know. We're going to, I mean, besides the you know, the regular Christmas Day stuff that we're doing with my cousin, we are going to a movie on Christmas night.
What are you
going to
see?
We're going to see Daddy's Home with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell.
Have you screened it yet?
No.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it because simply based on the fact that I think The Other Guys is the the funniest movie Will Ferrell's ever made.
The Other Guys... It sounds ridiculous, but The Other Guys is one of the top 10 funniest movies I've ever seen.
I agree with you. And the chemistry between the two, the reason why I think Daddy's Home looks dumb.
It does look dumb.
But the chemistry between the two of them in The Other Guys.
You know what I want to see? Other Guys 2. I want to see a sequel.
Me too. It's funny, though, because, you know, it's funny that Adam McKay, you know, has made The Big Short.
Yeah.
And... The bad guys in The Other Guys and how that movie ends. You remember how the credits at the end of The Other Guys, where he just shows all the facts and figures of what happened in 2008? It was just he was preparing for The Big Short like 5 years ago when he made that movie.
Yeah, the graphics at the end of the movie are an education of what went wrong.
That's right. Exactly right.
At the end of this ridiculously funny movie, you get like this really strong message. And it's
And then he made a really terrific movie, Big Short, which, by the way, opens today pretty wide.
Yeah, I just got
tomorrow.
I just got the Screen Actors Guild screener for it. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked it. I'm really curious to see what Orion thinks of it. That's
Orion's in it.
Oh.
Orion.
No,
I've seen
the
movie.
I did not participate in the downturn.
Orion caused the housing collapse.
Is that what happened? It was your fault, Orion?
I guess I put my house on the market and that did
and that
it.
Was it. Man. That was
so all it takes is one guy in the wrong place at the wrong time. So that's good. Now, and I understand, am I right about this? You were pleasant, well, maybe not pleasantly, you were surprised at your reaction to Star Wars.
Stunned. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was absolutely great. And, you know, it deserves all the accolades it's getting.
Yeah, I guess, see, that's good. Now, Nick was ready to pound on Star Wars. He admits that he liked it.
Oh, Nick, I was so moved by his review because he said...
Because you're a Star Wars geek.
Well, yeah, because you went in and, you know, you're self-admitted, you know, didn't care, cynical.
Yeah.
The way you described it so moved me because you were really getting into the excitement. And when the... You know, Galaxy in a Far, you know, how it begins, obviously.
Is that why you're wearing the Darth Vader helmet this morning?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good look for you.
I took off the Princess Leia hair that I had on a little bit earlier.
It's funny, your headphones would look like it.
Hello.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I really enjoyed Force Awakens. I thought it was terrific. And the experience of watching that movie with the crowd that I saw it with was a wonderful experience. I mean, everybody in that room, we all had a communal experience that can only be described as like joy.
Here's a good show business story for you. J.J. Abrams comes from a pretty strong family success story when it comes to TV, you know, extended family and everything else. Mm-hmm. And he did really well on TV. And he made
Felicity, for God's sake.
And he made a bunch of great movies.
Yeah.
And he is at a New Year's Eve party. It's a Hollywood party. And a guy comes up to him in charge of the studio and says, kid, you want to make the new Star Wars movie? And he had a vacation planned with his family, and he had stuff to do, and he didn't want to get in trouble with his wife. And I don't know. And he was a Star Wars kid. He grew up on Star Wars.
Sure.
So he goes home, and he tells everybody, and I think I'm right about this. Just when, and a lot of guys will do this, you bring it up to your wife, and your wife goes, jackass, yeah, of course you're going to do it.
Yeah.
So she signed off on it, and he makes the movie, and it's great. But because he's so neurotic, and he's so in his own head, he goes, well, I can't do the next two. Now he's killing himself because he gave the next two away.
Well, evidently the script for the next one is supposed to be is great. And I can't remember his last name, the guy who did Brick and Looper, is directing this one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's got potential.
Congratulations to you geeks because...
it's a gift to those to the Star Wars fans.
Yeah,
it's a gift. It's a total gift.
Did you ever see the movies, though? Have you seen a Star Wars movie?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Went with my kids in
Were
the
you 70s. A fan?
Yes.
Yeah, Orion's a Star Wars geek, too. Remember, we're going to go to the opening of the Lucas Museum.
Star Trek and Star Wars.
Is that why you have the Darth Vader helmet on today?
I didn't wear it today. This is how I normally look.
Oh. I'm wearing an Orion helmet.
That's going to be out of context.
Oh, boy. We got a couple of weeks to wait, though. So.
Yeah. Anything else of note this weekend?
Absolutely. Joy is coming out. David O. Russell's new movie with Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper.
This makes me laugh when I think of the pitch of this, because you got this phenomenal cast. But imagine going in to pitch it and go, okay, you remember the self-ringing mop? Yeah. I want to make a movie about the self-ringing mop. But it's not really about the mop. It's about the woman that came up with it.
Right.
I don't think you get that made without this cast.
And with David O. Russell, too, behind it. You know, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm seeing that one on Saturday night. Saturday morning, I'm heading to the Music Box Theater to see the Roadshow 70mm presentation of The Hateful Eight, which is Tarantino's new movie. And the Roadshow 70mm presentation is sort of a big deal. 70mm film was something that was a big deal in the 60s and the 50s and the 70s. And Tarantino's trying to revive that. And so the big deal is that you go to the Music Box Theater, which is this classic, beautiful, old theater. They brought in a brand new screen for the movie. So it's like a new 40-foot screen, 7.1 Dolby Stereo. And it's shot on film. It'll be shown on film, no digital.
Do most of these theaters have the equipment to run film anymore?
No. The only theater that it's going to play in for the first week is the Music Box,
because the film comes in these giant platters, literal platters. Yep. They look like records on steroids, and they have to be threaded, and you have to go through the whole
thing. And 70mm is much bigger. Well, yeah. It's double the size of 35, and so, but it's supposed to look fantastic, and it's got. You know, they do, like the old days when you would go to a movie and you'd dress up and you'd go to these big, beautiful auditoriums. There would be an overture, like a play. They would play the overture from the theme before the movie. They would play the movie and then there'd be an intermission. Same thing's going to happen with Hateful Eight. The whole thing, the whole program itself lasts 3 hours and 15 minutes with the movie and the intermission and the overture. I don't hear great things about the movie, but I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. The beautiful Music Box Theater, 70mm.
Yeah, the people at the Music Box deserve a lot of credit.
Absolutely.
They're not getting rich off that joint, but they're showing great film.
No. That's the big one. And then there's the remake of Point Break, and it's going to be very dangerous for anybody who's in the same theater with me when they show that.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to start tearing seats up and going nuts.
You did most of the stunts in the original, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I just watched the original again the other day. Yeah. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah. And the fact that they've remade it is just ridiculous. And then there's Concussion, which is Will Smith's new movie, which I didn't like. It's, you know, based on the
book. Too preaching?
Just not good. Huh? You know, I mean, it's based on the true story about the doctor.
The guy that found CTE.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, remember last year there was a film called A Most Violent Year?
Uh-huh.
And Albert Brooks was in it.
Yep.
And in it, Albert Brooks had straight hair.
Yep.
And
Distraction.
I was completely distracted by that. Okay, now
ruined the movie for
in this one, he's bald.
Right.
So I don't know why this is such a big deal.
Now, I'm hearing he's great in the part, though.
He's good. I mean, he's good now. We see Albert Brooks.
Yeah,
he's a god.
Yeah.
So, but I find myself being, he has to just go back to the curly
Albert Brooks
hair. Because I can't concentrate.
Yeah.
I just can't.
It's okay, Nick.
I just can't.
And I'm pretty sure the guy that Alec Baldwin plays is actually an African black man. Is the, you know, the guy that was in partnership with Will Smith's character.
Right?
I think that's right.
Oh, okay.
Because that'd be interesting casting as well.
It would be.
Yeah. Because Alec Baldwin's a good actor, but, you know.
Not that good.
No, not that good.
Not that good.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Thanks, man. Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. I'll be back on the 4th.
And great job on the show.
Thank you, man.
Ratings are very, very good.
Thank you. I'm glad.
And, it's going to be a great 16.
I can't wait.
Anybody else, anything for Nick other than Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas,
Merry
Nick.
Christmas,
Happy New
Nick.
Year. And I'll be working with you guys on the 5th and 6th of January. I understand that you will not be here.
That's right.
Someone's pulling my leg.
I was going, where am I going to be? No, I am going to be gone.
Yeah.
But then for people to go, wait, you didn't take any vacation, now you're never here. I'll be back after the 6th for an extended period of time.
Awesome.
So, all right. And don't forget New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah, New Year's Eve, your show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're coming out. Crystal Lake, going to swing by?
I'll be there. I'll walk.
Okay.
I'll leave now.
You should.
Merry Christmas, man. Happy
All night. Right, you too, buddy.
Yeah.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. The news is sponsored by Majestic Star Casino. Here's Andre Darlis.
And Dave Schwann.
And good morning.
I'm sorry, I forgot that we did this. Andrea, by the way, I insisted that she not do the news today because I was afraid during any newscast she may just fall asleep. So Dave was nice enough to come in and handle this. But by the way, Andrea, sitting in this chair, will critique your performance throughout the morning.
I'm prepared for that fully. Thank you.
Yeah, and you'll be a full report.
I don't think you have to worry, Dave.
All right, go ahead, Dave.
Thank you.
I just gone nuts at Christmas on that happy holiday. Then I go in the red like a knucklehead because I squander all my pay.
A lot of people don't know, but Beyonce cites Orion as one of her major influences. Are you aware of that, Dave?
Yeah, no, I've heard that, actually. Yeah.
I wasn't aware of it. But
yeah, she said as a little girl, she grew up on a Yusko Natsa Christmas.
I'll bet she did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 6:12, and what are you doing for Christmas, huh?
Well, tonight at the 5 o'clock church service at Shepherd of the Prairie Lutheran Church, I do what I do every year, read the Christmas scripture at the service. And then tomorrow morning, it's into the airplane, not mine. I'll let United do it, but we'll be enjoying Christmas dinner in Arizona.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, how about that? You're timing it right, too, because the summer's about to end here in Chicago.
I think so.
It looks like, and Hammernick talked about this last hour, it looks like we will get into the 20s by the time our New Year's Eve show rolls around.
But the nice thing about rain at this time of the year, we'll go into the winter season with ample moisture for lawns and trees and crops that will be produced next year. So
and golf courses.
And golf courses, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
I want to talk about the 5 o'clock hour for a second, and this, frankly, I don't know why anybody would be surprised about this, but this has nothing to do with your surgery or your health, because you know horses called and go, yeah, he's healthier than us. But your schedule's about to change.
It will, yes. First real change in about 61 years.
Yeah. You know what? I hadn't thought about that. But you will be involved in the 5 o'clock hour with Steve Grzanich.
Right.
And we'll explain that piece in a second. But you'll also still be involved in this show.
Yes.
You'll still be on the road all the time.
Yes.
And you'll still do the TV show.
Yes.
Oh, well, good to see you're cutting back.
And some speaking engagements.
But the point is, it builds a little time into your schedule that you frankly haven't had, well, I guess now that you said that, in 61 years.
Well, when I was 18 and sitting on a three-legged milking stool milking cows in that dairy barn in Wisconsin, I said to my dad, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to milk cows. So I left. I became an ag broadcaster. Ever since, I have been getting up at 2:45 in the morning to do a program for people who get up at 5 o'clock to milk cows.
Yeah, it's true. When you go out and you speak to the farmers that you love and they love you back, it's not like they're going, boy, I don't know how you do your schedule.
I know.
They're on the same schedule.
I'm trying to keep up with them.
So. You know, I've said this to you before, but I'll say it again publicly. And, Andre, I know you agree with me on this. You have impacted farming in this country and impacted agriculture in this country and impacted that community in ways that we could never quantify. And we don't thank you enough for that. And as you move into this new schedule, mm-hmm. which, by the way, still includes this show, most
right.
importantly to me.
Yes.
As you move into this new schedule, I just think it's good to stop down and recognize that. I know you're not the kind of guy who reaches around and pats yourself on the butt very often, but you should.
Well, the person I'm happy for is Gloria, because for 14 years now that we've been married, she gets up 2:45 every
yeah.
morning.
Yeah.
Sends me off with a cup of coffee and a kiss. And so now, for the first time in 14 years, she'll get to sleep in.
How about that?
Yeah. But
how about
I think I'm happier for Gloria. No offense, Ori.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not good for her.
And I do have to thank management through the years here at WGN, because this is the last big city station in the country to spend any time talking about what I've always called our most basic industry, and that's agriculture.
Backbone of America.
Yes, indeed. So, you know, and I look forward to continuing to participate. This is not retirement for me, and I heard from a couple of people saying, hey, you can't go off the air. No, I'm not going off.
No. First off, you didn't bring it up. Secondly, nobody asked. Third, neither one of us wanted that.
You know what Jimmy DeCastro said?
No.
He said, we want you on the air at WGN as long as you're physically able to do it. And I don't think an 81-year-old getting up at 2:45 in the morning and driving 52 miles
it's not a great
is conducive
idea.
To... prolonged life. So I thank him for that too. So, but yeah, I've already heard from some people saying, oh, they're kicking you off. No, they're not kicking me off.
Absolutely not.
You know, I think that's just a.
Absolutely not.
You know, we really love what we do. We love our bosses, I think, but there's still a little shell shock from many years ago where there was a situation if you were off the air for a day.
True.
Or you took vacation, you heard about it. People, where are you? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
So this is a reassurance everything's
great. Well, and the worst thing for DeCastro would be if we made this about him. But DeCastro and Todd have created an environment where talent is appreciated and recognized. And, you know, the marching orders around here for the last 2.5 years since I came back have been to honor the past, not do away with the past.
And we went through a dark time here when everything was done to destroy what WGN was all about.
Well, look, the way Kathy and Judy were shipped out, the way Milt was shipped out, the way Steve and Johnny were shipped out, absolutely ridiculous.
It was.
And completely counter to what this place has been about for the entire run of WGN. So thankfully that's back. But I just wanted to take a moment to make you uncomfortable, because I enjoy that, as you know, and recognize the fact that the Orion Samuelson project here continues. You're still on probation.
I know, but I'm working hard to get off probation.
And I hope Gloria enjoys having you around a little bit more.
Well, I think she will. You know, she's my health warden, because... this Saturday, I'm going to, on the Saturday morning show, interview Dr. Balky, who went
Captain,
into my heart.
Captain Pig and Pig Valve, and what was the other one?
Cow Valve. Yeah, so I'm interviewing him on Saturday morning to talk about the role of animal agriculture in human health, because now I can literally say I have agriculture in my blood. And we're going to talk a little bit about where these parts come from and how they are produced. And so that'll be Saturday morning.
Good. I want to give the last word here for this segment to Dave Ennett, because Dave Ennett was a boy broadcaster when he first met you, Orion.
He was.
And,
he still is.
And when... Thank you. When Dave walks into a room and he's staring at the Giants, physically giant. Orion's a big dude. And walks in with Wally. How intimidated were you?
Oh, I mean, I just kind of went in. It was kind of keep your head down, sit down, do your thing, get up and leave. And because there were so many people in the studio for the morning show,
and all stars.
You had John Tendelli, you had Marty Dreyse, you had a record turner, you had a sound guy, you had an engineer, you had two news people, you had Marilyn producing, you had an Orient and Max. Sometimes it seemed like they were both there. How many people were doing traffic? Because you had two flying officers up in the copters.
Two copters.
And this massive studio. And but I have to tell you that probably the most welcoming and friendliest person to me from the day I walked in to WGN for the first time 31 years ago was Orion Samuelson.
Yeah, Andre, you've told me the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, well, thank you.
Orion, my goodness.
I didn't realize that.
Orion, you know, to walk into an institution and work with Bob Collins and Orion Samuelson and Steve Cochran, too. You know, you never give yourself credit.
I'm not old enough to be an institution
That's
yet.
True.
I just
That's
keep telling myself
very
that.
Very true. You're a youngster as well. Yeah. But, yeah, Orion, I mean, my gosh, and Gloria, too. You know, we talk about Gloria.
Well, Gloria's a good friend of yours.
Gloria, because behind every great man is an even greater woman.
Sure.
We'd all agree to that.
Sure.
And she's my golf partner now, so you guys aren't getting rid of me.
I
have a feeling, though, Steve, I'm going to be taking Gloria out golfing a lot more now, with Big O being home a little bit more.
Yeah, she's going to go, what was I thinking? Now I've got him home. Good God.
I'm just so impressed.
Get another speaking engagement, Samuelson.
I'm so impressed she gets up every morning
I mean,
she does.
I mean, the dog gets up when I leave. That's right. About it.
Yeah.
Nobody stirs.
Yeah.
No, she has done that from the day we were married, and she sends me off with a cup of coffee, and she pulls my weather forecast for me. So she's a producer as well.
That's exactly right, and an uncredited one until now. So let's be clear on this, and please tell your friends and your neighbors, this is not a retirement speech. This is a schedule change speech.
Right.
And just a recognition, a brief one, and one that doesn't begin to touch your accomplishments. And I know you get it from the farming community all the time, because there's nobody more loyal or there's no better people in America than the farmers, and they'll bend over backwards to say thank you. But on behalf of everybody else that never says it, thanks for the continuing work you will do here at WGN.
Look forward to it, and look forward to being here on the morning show.
Yes.
I'll probably do quite a bit of it from home, but...
It's all right. Well, occasionally get your butt in here. Good God, you're a slacker.
I will.
Yeah, I need my reports on I-90 every morning.
Believable.
What am I going to do? Yeah.
Changes his schedule on a Friday. Suddenly he's not showing up anymore. It's unbelievable.
Oh, I do have to say this about I-90. You know, it's been a pain for 2 years.
Yeah, of course.
But going into this Christmas weekend, this morning, they had 3 lanes open both ways, and we're on a lot of new pavement. And I tip my hat to the construction people who are able to do this and keep the traffic open, and now it's getting closer.
I got to tell you, the drive this morning is extremely pleasant.
Yes.
It's like a Saturday morning coming into the city.
Right.
There's nobody out there.
Wait till you try to go home.
Yeah, it might be a little different.
It's like yesterday. It was crazy trying to get home.
2.5 hours from the city to Aurora yesterday.
Really?
2.5 hours.
Well, it was raining. It was nasty. It was windy.
Yeah.
People don't know how to drive, and they're trying to get home to shop.
Yeah. My express lanes were closed this morning, though.
Yes, they were.
Okay.
So
again, they're not the Dave Bennett express lanes.
Well, kind of.
Despite what some might think.
All right, we're way late. What a shock that is. Through it. Oh, ridiculous.
What's going on there, Buttercup? What's going on there, Cowboy? Sparky, Cowboy. Sparky, Cowboy. Dog. What's going on there, Sparkles? Romeo. Dog. Buttercup. Romeo. Buttercup.
Now, your Chevy dealer at ChevyDriveChicago.com present Cap's Corner with David Kaplan.
And I know that half your household is a big Christmas household, which makes you a part of the Christmas festivities. So what are you doing tomorrow, David Kaplan?
We will go out to my sister-in-law, Veronica, and brother-in-law, Tom, tonight, have dinner out there and sleep there, wake up, open presents, and then tomorrow afternoon, I think I'm going to see a movie with my wife and father-in-law, and then I go to work tomorrow night with at Comcast to do the news shows.
And who, you working with Garfine?
Chuck Garfine, baby. The Jew crew will be on.
I was told you called them two live Jews. Did I make that up?
That's correct. That's what we call it.
Yeah, two live Jews is good. Let's talk about the Lisa Madigan thing for a second. And Dave Enick can chime in on this as well. How big a deal, and you don't have to quantify it in dollars, just in anecdotal form, how big a deal is sports betting?
How big a deal is sports betting? It's enormous. I believe it's huge impact on why the NFL has such good TV ratings. You know, there are people that wonder, that don't work in the TV business or don't really pay attention to ratings. I'll give you an example. A big Cubs game, like a monster Cubs game on Comcast Sportsnet, September, Cubs are in the race, they're going to get to the playoffs. A monster number in a regular season game would be, oh God, a 7?
7 or 8, yeah.
An average Bear game, like last week's Bears game where they got blown out by Minnesota, was a lousy rating for the Bears, 21. So it's a totally different world.
And we can chart this backwards to the 90s before gambling really exploded and see an absolute difference in the numbers, right?
Yeah, but I think if you can go back as far as you want when there was televised football, the numbers were just ridiculous on how many people are watching because they've got a pool sheet, fantasy football team, whatever the case may be. So that's a huge impact on pro and even college sports. But you take the gambling aspect out of it, and I think it would definitely impact TV ratings. Now, Lisa Madigan comes out and says the daily fantasy. I don't know, did she say daily fantasy or any fantasy?
Daily.
daily. I completely 100% disagree with her. I've played daily fantasy. It is absolutely a game of skill, not a game of chance. I have an account on FanDuel, and you go on there, and I've had days where I'm like, wow, I had to put a pretty good team together today. And I've had days where Aaron Rodgers was awful, and I put a bad team together. So she is 1,000% wrong.
I agree.
But what she's saying is it doesn't matter if it's skill or luck, that's not the issue. It's gambling.
Well, yeah, it is gambling. If you have money riding on it, it's gambling.
You put money on there.
Yeah. Right. If you have money riding on it, it's absolutely gambling.
I do think that the NFL, part of the reason for the NFL's popularity, because it was already skyrocketing before the explosion in gambling and more legalized gambling around the country and all the offshore betting.
Right.
And I think it's a sport that lends itself so well to television. But I do think it's been an issue for the NFL, people wanting to stay home and track their fantasy teams. And so they've tried to make the stadium experience more like sitting at home on your couch because they're afraid people are going to stay home so they can track their teams.
Especially if you have a lesser team.
Yeah.
But why does she have a problem with daily fantasy and says that that's illegal, you can't do that, but I can go over to Arlington Park
or OTV
Hawthorne or play regular fantasy, not the daily type, the kind that's based on season-long statistics. What is her rationale?
We're trying to get around this morning to talk about specifically that. Why is part of it gambling, part of it's not gambling?
Man, there's so much revenue that is being brought in for the economy from the advertising that's going on. I cannot believe they're not going to find a way to make this work. Regulate it and figure it out.
Well, and I think that's the issue, isn't it? It's
regulated.
Somehow going to be regulated.
Regulate it and secure the tax base.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think that's where this is going as well. This is not offshore poker. There will be a way to save this because there's a line in the new movie, the Concussion movie, where Albert Brooks' character talks about, are you sure you want to take on the NFL? They own a day of the week. The church used to own it. And it's too big. It's too big. And frankly, like everything else, money drives it, and there's too much money involved to have it go away. But again, we're efforting Lisa Madigan this morning, and on Christmas Eve it may be a little difficult, but we're going to see. In other sports news, Cap, what else is happening?
Bulls are going to practice again today, and they'll board their charter jet and head down to Oklahoma City, and we'll see how they do tomorrow, because this is the type of situation where I know in the past you would count them out and they would roar in and beat somebody. You go, wow. And in fact, it happened this year already when Oklahoma City came here. Bulls were struggling. I remember calling it on the air a kind of a lab experiment, a litmus test, where this team's at, and they beat Oklahoma City. So everyone's expecting the way they're playing to go down and get blown out. So we'll see just what they do. But I do think there are some real issues with the makeup of the roster, and that doesn't mean it's not talented. I just don't know if these guys like each other. I'm being honest, and I just don't know if this thing can be saved in its current form.
Meaning he may not make it through the season?
No, I think Fred will be fine. I just don't think this roster is presently constituted. I don't think these guys like playing with each other. I don't think it's a good mix. I don't know how much respect there is for Jimmy Butler's leadership. It had nothing to do with his ability or his work ethic. I think that's a problem. Derek is just not what Derek used to be. There are some guys in there that frankly couldn't guard their lunch, and that's a problem. When you don't have guys that will sell out for each other, all pull on the same end of the rope, when times get tough, it's tough to find a way to win.
Don't you need an ass kicker like Michael Jordan? Not the Michael Jordan, but don't you need at least one guy on the team? And it could be a guy that gets 10 minutes a night, but a guy that's going to control the locker room? I mean, you got 12 guys. You tell them you can't manage 12 guys?
It's not that easy. I mean, you've got to have, you mentioned Michael, but he was also the greatest player of all time. So what he said was the absolute law. And the problem is,
yeah, but every great team has somebody like that. David Robinson did that. Tim Duncan was never outspoken, but he did it quietly. And then obviously Popovich is a coach with an iron fist that handles things. Every great team that gets a title does that.
But you have a former MVP on this team, and that's not his personality. Plus, he's not the player he was, as Cap said, a few years ago.
Yeah, so you need somebody.
Yeah.
But you need your best player to, whether he leads through example or through being vocal, that it's not working, because a lot of the players and the things I'm hearing from people I trust in that league that I used to coach with are telling me, hey, man, they don't respect Jimmy. They don't like Jimmy. Yes, he's talented. But if Jimmy Butler's your best player, you're not winning a title. He's a great complimentary player, but he is not a top 10 guy in the league.
I got to tell you, there's something organizationally that's different, too. And it's not just because this is Chicago. But the Blackhawks, and obviously winning changes things, are beloved. And the players are accessible. And the community puts their arms around the Blackhawks. And people who were never considered hockey fans are all over it. The Bulls don't have that kind of fan support. So when you have teams like this that seem to be chemically not able to pull it off, you're just not going to get the support from the crowd. Because it's a good team. It's a good team. It's not a great team.
It is. But what's the difference between the two? You got Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews.
Well, you also have an organization, dude. You got an organization behind them that I don't know that the Bulls have. I think Gar and I think Paxson and I think all those guys are good guys, but they've been struggling with this thing for years, trying to figure out how to make everybody row the boat in the same direction.
But I do believe if Derek never blows his ACL, that team probably wins a title under Tibbs and things are different because they've brought talent in. But the big difference is, you got a guy who comes over from Europe and Mirotić. You got Gasol's a free agent. You've got different makeup of the roster, and your best player, Derek, isn't the best guy anymore because of injury, mental, whatever the case may be. We're on the Blackhawks, Kane, Toews, Keith, Seabrook, Crawford, that whole core, all were raised as Blackhawks. So there's a lot more of a chemistry bond there.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, you said if. I mean, if you and I still had our hair, we'd be Clooney and Pitt. So, you know what I'm saying. I mean, there's a lot of yourself.
No question. I'd be Clooney or Pitt with a little dash of, I don't know, I'd say probably Mickelson.
I'd be Clooney. You'd be Pitt, but not Brad. You'd be his cousin Dave. Dave Pitt.
Dave Pitt.
Yeah. You're on the radio today?
I am not. I am off today and looking forward to hanging out with family and friends.
AM1000 is nice enough to lend you over here since you went over there, and we appreciate that. But you're always welcome here, Cap, whatever we're doing. You know that. This is your home. And
21 years I was there, baby.
And Comcast, you're still doing Comcast, obviously, going into 2016 and beyond. And tomorrow night, two live Jews.
Two live Jews, me and Chuck Garfice. Tune in 6:30 and 10, baby.
All right, man. And Merry Christmas to your family.
Merry Christmas and happy, healthy new year to all of you. I love you.
You
love
too, Cap. We love you.
Same, Cap.
At the Catman on social media, let's go right to your big story. All right, it is 6:44, and in the midst of this Christmas season, a season of giving, it may now be a season of taking. We have a thief.
In the building?
What? We have a Christmas thief.
Is here? It's not in it.
Well, we don't know who it is.
Stealing what?
Kevin's Christmas gift from you.
What? Gifts.
What? From me?
Yeah.
My awesome
You know that
gifts.
Sweet barbecue set you got, Kevin?
Yeah, with the football, and there was a beer bottle opener on the top.
I loved that he was showing everybody like it was, you know, the holy grail of barbecue sets.
Someone stole my gift to you?
Yeah.
This is no joke. I'm serious.
You're kidding.
Yeah, this was down here in the producer booth, which I assumed I could leave anything down here, my wallet, my social security card.
It's not like, let's be honest, because everybody wants to do the right thing, right? Everybody wants to go, I'm sure it was a mistake, somebody just picked it up. Nobody can just walk into the studio.
No.
You have to work here. You have to be involved with a show.
We have security in
the
front lobby.
So somebody between 5 a.m. and 5 a.m. on one of these shows, or one of the weekend shows, is a thief. So, and we need to know who it is. I think it's Bill Weff. No, that's not
true. Oh, no. All right, so, Kevin, you know what? You can narrow it down by who likes to grill. You know,
well,
who likes
I've emailed all the producers that I know sit regularly here, the full-time producers that do all the shows. So I've talked to them. I've interrogated them. So I have an idea, but still, the grill set is missing. So.
Do you still have the bacon calendar?
So the calendar was missing as well. But I hunted down the culprit, and I have the calendar back.
Who was the culprit?
Well, we can't say it on air.
You can't out him?
No, because he actually coughed it up. Now, he is the number one person of interest.
So you think he may be responsible for the barbecue theft as well?
He doesn't seem like a barbecue type to me.
No, he doesn't, but it's a sweet grill set. I mean, that's worth at least $350 on the secondary market on eBay or something like that.
You know, I'm so bummed. I hope we find it. Otherwise, you know what? If I'll get you another one. Because it was such a perfect gift for you.
We're going to track this down.
Well, because I want the perpetrator to know we will find you. I took off my sunglasses. First off, I shouldn't wear them at this hour because it's dark and I bump into things. But I took off my sunglasses, and I like on CSI Miami, like David Caruso. And then there was a screech, and then I went, oh, we'll grill you when we find you.
Did you
about the missing grill set?
Did you pause then and give the stare?
Yeah, and then the music started really loud, and there was another screech, just like on CSI Miami.
Oh, man, we got to find out who took
that. But we're not kidding around. Here in the season of giving, someone on this staff is a taker.
Mm-hmm. Kev, have you checked every drawer in there? Because people throw all kinds of stuff.
Oh, hold on. Yeah, look in the back.
Maybe someone didn't want.
No.
Bill and Wendy's off.
You like it better if it was stolen, don't you?
No. I'm telling you, we know the calendar was missing, and the calendar was returned. So why would one be missing and the other one not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really suspicious.
That's some good detective work.
No, it's not my first time for taking off my sunglasses. And come on this show and admit they're a thief and take their punishment as a thief, then they'll do less time in prison. I think that's a good compromise.
Is that a plea bargain?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Remember on NYPD Blue when they used to talk about tuning up a suspect?
Oh, yeah.
They'd take him back, they'd tune him up.
Yeah.
I'll tune this one up. You don't steal from this show.
We've had a lot of guests on the program lately. You don't think any of the guests
steal from this show.
Would be responsible. Well,
they couldn't get in the producer's booth, but do we have a room with just a bare light bulb swinging from a wire?
Yeah.
We're putting one in.
Good.
Yeah, we're putting one in now. Got the engineers working on it.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
Okay, everybody, here we go.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Now,
texter from the 630, Steve, not only was something stolen, but a Christmas present was stolen. That makes the culprit not only a thief, but the Grinch. The Grinch who stole the barbecue set, a much lesser known special, but still an important special.
Isn't that kind of weird, though? People know we're giving out gifts and things like that. You know, the different shows are doing white elephants and gift exchanges. Why would you just walk off with a nicer gift?
It's rude and it's terrible, but it was an awesome gift. So, you know, I'll take some of the blame. I should have left it down here.
It's like, you know, it's like stealing from your family.
Yeah,
it is. You know, if you're stealing at work, I mean, that's not cool.
It's like I said, I feel like I should be able to leave my wallet down here with all my... I shouldn't even have to worry about it. But no,
that's not good.
Leave a barbecue set down there and it's gone.
Yeah, it's not good. What'd you say, Mary?
It's not a good idea to leave your wallet and everything.
I'm saying, making a point, Mary.
Yeah, it's a larger picture.
But we should be able to. We are family. I would leave my purse sitting open in front of you guys.
Right.
Maybe not edit, but the rest of you guys, I would leave everything. Well, my keys.
Really?
My phone, my wallet. I trust you guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're going to steal, you know, don't steal from employees. Steal from the company. I think if that's one lesson we can learn this Christmas season, it's probably that. Like Rokan. Rokan, a lot of people think Rokan's off this week. He was caught embezzling from the Tribune Media Company. Like, Larry Wirt caught him. Yeah.
Like
caught
someone else who gave out all of our staplers to our listeners.
Yeah, what if that was someone's favorite stapler now? It's gone. Jeez.
Well, there's like
where are my pens?
There's like 100 to choose from. Oh!
By the way, I'm writing with a Sharpie again today, but I've got 47 staplers.
By the way, our friend Tracy Butler was listening yesterday and retweeted and tweeted out to, you know, please
that
help the
pens.
Steve Cochran Show.
Tracy's
and,
great.
And guess who responded? Our friend Steve Burness, who said he's going to send over a bunch of pens from the Better Business Bureau.
Yeah, we should have him today.
I'm starting to think he has a crush on you. He stops by to see you.
Stop it.
Yeah. He's a friend of the show,
of the
program.
Hmm. I'll have to look into that, too. A lot of things to investigate. One other thing about the 5 o'clock hour that we were talking about earlier, Andrea's done a great job with the 5 o'clock hour, and I have insisted that she try to work less than 7 days a week and 12 hours a day, and she's reluctantly listening to me a little bit. Steve Grzanich, who I guess you've known him forever, right?
Yeah, we've known. Oh, I knew Steve back. We worked together in Champaign about, I hate to say this, 20 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
What were you, five?
Six? I was, yes. Yeah. I was I was a young child at the time.
And he was on BBM for a long time.
He was.
And BBM was dumb enough to let him go. so we're smart enough to pick him up, and he's going to do the 5 o'clock hour, which will have a business focus like the noon hour, mm-hmm. which is a good thing. And then he's going to do anchor the top of the hour newscast for us, which frees you up to do some other things, including going on the road a little bit this coming year.
A little bit, yeah. It's going to be big. It's an election year, Steve. Don't know if you knew.
So.
It's coming up.
So cool changes coming up in 2016 that aren't going to have you lose your favorite voices because they're going to be around, but we're adding some other folks as well. Dave looks a little suspicious to me. Do you think he stole the barbecue stuff?
I don't know.
I have
my
own barbecue stuff. I wouldn't steal anything.
Yeah, but not a football barbecue set.
With a beer.
You think I would steal anything from you?
No, I truly.
Isn't that the perfect cover, though, saying I've got my own barbecue stuff?
Okay, and I would never, first of all, I wouldn't steal it. I don't go in the producer's booth when I can avoid it.
Yeah. What's wrong with the producer booth?
Yeah.
That go on in there.
Yeah. Kev, you don't want to know.
You guys don't want to know what goes on in here anyways.
Seven 12 in the morning. Let's go live to Southern California, or from Pat Brady, from Next Generation. Now I'm going to get the name wrong. Help me out. Next Generation
Strategies. Generation Strategies. Merry Christmas, G Pop.
Well, thanks, bud. Appreciate it. Spent some time with the granddaughter yesterday. Of course, she's better than all the other grandchildren, more advanced, she's just a great kid. You know, we had a long talk, and hey, this is going to surprise you, Pat. It turns out she likes me best.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm sure she will.
She's a week old today, by the way. At @Pat_Brady. So I was minding my own business a couple days ago. I'm looking at Politico. It turns out you want to kill Donald Trump? How did I not know this?
Well, you were a co-conspirator. we were talking about the debate and Jeb Bush went after Trump, and we were making the point: if you're going to take Trump out, you got to take him out. You can't just go half-assed after him. You got to really take him out.
And you used a phrase that you've used for years, a phrase that you used in the legal business, and that phrase is what?
Headshot.
Got to give him the headshot.
Yeah, I also said you got to rip his head off. I mean, but it's the Trump people are too dim-witted to understand the difference between rhetoric in the context of a debate.
Yes.
The literal piece of it. So they went crazy. And, man, I've gotten some very nice Merry Christmas, I hate you, Pat Brady, tweets. they are really, even the Germans took a break at Christmas during World War II. These people are terrible.
Well, here's the thing. Pat Brady, to my knowledge, you know, I've been friends a long time. To my knowledge, you've never killed anybody.
No, I never.
And you have no plans to kill anyone in the future.
No, never crossed my mind. But I've won a lot of debates and legal arguments and other things by being very aggressive and making the best and strongest argument and ripping the other side's head off. Yes, I have done that.
Yeah, so it's a phrase. You know, we live in a time where people go, oh, I can't wait to be offended today. Who's going to offend me first? And you just look for the words or the headlines that you're going to jump on. And this is another example of that.
Oh, and especially considering the Donald, who has basically insulted every group.
Everybody,
and stands there, and you're stupid, and you're a loser, and you're not a war hero, and you're a woman, and you're an immigrant. And so that's the irony to me when these people started calling me. I mean, they just went nuts on me. My kids are like, what are you doing, Dad? I go, well, I'm just reading my Twitter because I'm learning some new words.
You know what you need to do? I don't know if you saved any of them, but Kimmel does a great bit where he has celebrities read mean tweets. So, and it's always funny. So if you saved a few of them, when you get back from the West Coast and I get back from next week, let's read a few I Hate Pat Brady tweets on the air.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to do some of them on podcasts because some of them are they know a lot of bad words.
Yeah, we'll clean those up. We'll put code words in.
Merry Christmas, blank.
Yeah, it'll be like when they overdub a movie on TBS with the words that don't fit.
You could always share those with Steve Harvey. He got a bunch of those, too.
Yes, he did.
Oh, poor guy. Oh, yeah. But so anyway, they're continuing to come. But it's just the idiocy of the Trump campaign and the people around him, because it was all ginned up by his people.
Quick question on that, because I want to ask you about the Lisa Madigan thing, too. But a quick question on this this Trump campaign. I readily admit I was wrong. I thought he was out 60 days tops. I still firmly believe he's out. It's just a matter of when. If he loses in Iowa and New Hampshire, considering the fact that he hasn't spent any money in comparative terms, can he stay in through South Carolina and beyond?
He's got the money and he gets free media attention all day long, so he could potentially. And I'm with you. I thought he was going to be done long ago. I still think there's no way he wins the nomination.
Oh, please!
The bigger threat to me is, as evidenced by his, his immature behavior, the way he handled me, is that this guy is never going to quit now that he's got the feel for it. So he'll claim that he hasn't been treated well, and he'll run as a third party candidate, and he'll guarantee that Hillary Clinton wins. All he's doing, this is the one thing I have been saying all along, all he's doing is helping Hillary Clinton become the next president of the United States.
I totally agree.
Be president.
Yeah. Well,
seven in ten people don't like him or disapprove of him, and over half the country thinks he'd be an embarrassment.
Yeah, and for those people who have responded to his "I'm tired and I can't take it anymore" commentary, he's right, but he's no more right than you are. And in the same way that you work and you have a life and you got a lot to do and you haven't formulated your plan on how to handle ISIS, neither is he. And you haven't had a chance to formulate your plan on how to make sure the economy's fixed for the duration. Neither is he. He doesn't have any more plans than you do as a Trump supporter. And unless you feel like you would elect yourself because you're tanned, rested, and ready, it's a wasted vote to vote for Donald Trump. Love what he says. Love the fact that he's enthusiastic. But you got to elect somebody and first nominate somebody who can actually accomplish something. And he's not it.
No, and the thing that bothers me equally is his view of the Constitution. He doesn't think one exists.
Yeah.
The wall, and we're going to do this. And I mean, that's what conservatives have for a long time been against, abuses of constitutional powers. I know that's a little on the weeds, but yeah, but he's not going to win. It's just, yeah, we got to be patient and sit back and watch it blow up. I'm just more fearful of the third party effort than I am anything else.
@Pat_Brady, if you hadn't had a chance to send him a hate tweet yet. And we'll come back in a second.
Well, I get my regular ones from you, so those are good, though.
We'll come back in a second, and I want to ask you about the Lisa Madigan thing, because it's a combination of politics and legal. Hey, Kev, get the plug ready, the blatant plug for the New Year's Eve show you'll be a part of.
All right.
And we have Hawks tickets coming up in just a couple of minutes. So stand by. If you're being patient, you'll be rewarded as we play Guess Who's Got the Puck in Their Pants one more time. And we'll start the clues here in just a second. Pat Brady's live in Los Angeles. Are you back in San Diego now?
I'm in Los Angeles. I did the Walk of Fame yesterday. I did not see your star.
What?
I looked. I looked up and down. And I go, I'm looking for Kyle. I can't find it.
They moved it?
I think so.
I don't think there was ever one to begin with, was there?
Yeah, there's a Steve Cockroach star. Okay. Yeah. I wonder if they probably cut it out and they moved it to the valley. They take it, they put it out
to the suburbs.
Yeah exactly. All right, so Lisa Madigan made an announcement that she is joining what, Dave, you helped me out on this, 10, 11, 12 states now who have decided that FanDuel and DraftKings daily sports betting operations are illegal gambling. This is part politics, part legal, isn't it, Pat?
Yeah, and I think she did the exact right thing. If you read the statutes, it was pretty clear that this is illegal gambling. And she was asked by Representative Drury from Highland Park, who was, I think, a former federal prosecutor, too, to look into this. And she made that ruling yesterday, and I think it was absolutely correct. There is legislation now pending that'll be litigated this spring on making this, making it be comport with our laws. But right now she just said it's illegal, which I think it is 11 states, right, Dave?
FanDuel, as far as their site, they list like six.
Okay.
Where it's including New York and DraftKings, both have Iowa. as a state where they're not permitted to operate.
Okay. So here's the thing, Pat, because, you know, we can go to OTB and we can go to the Trek, certainly go to all these casinos. Is there a different tax structure for regulated organized gambling that we need to get to with this so these states agree with it? Or what's the ultimate end game here?
I think that's part of the issue. She cited that in her release yesterday. It's that we got to make sure that we're taxing it properly. And I think one of the biggest concerns is that kids can't do it. So there's a lot of regulatory framework that's got to be put around any gambling to make sure that the society's interests are protected, particularly the taxing aspect.
Oh, man. I was just about to find a new quarterback. Yeah, it is too easy to go online and claim you're, you know, 18 or 21 or whatever the minimum number is and do that. By the same token, it's hypocritical from a common sense standpoint until it's not. But we're talking specifically about the legal statute here. We're not talking about whether or not it's a game of chance or a skill.
Yeah, and it's pretty clear in Illinois that this violates the statute. But I tell you what, as a 12-year-old football fanatic, I could see myself doing this.
Sure,
day.
Absolutely.
It would have been a blast, yeah.
Especially when the only threshold to get online is what's your birth date, and all you got to do is do the math to claim you're 21.
Yeah.
Not that hard.
I think it's the right thing. We'll see what happens, what the legislature does. But I think she did the right thing yesterday.
Where does it go from here, Dave? Any idea? We just sit and wait and see what the reaction is by DraftKings and FanDuel?
I think that's kind of where it is, yeah.
And, Pat, doesn't it go back to court? Aren't they going to fight it in court before they agree to changes?
I think they're going to try to. I don't know exactly what they're going to do. I know they're spending a lot of money on their lobbying efforts nationally. But I imagine they'll probably fight it out in the legislature.
You know, it's
not that even a close call. I mean, from a legal standpoint, I don't think it's even a close call.
The other thing is I think they'll have a lot of support from the pro sports leagues, yeah, because they're partnering with them.
Yep.
A lot of the advertising, if you're watching an NFL game, yep, there's tons of advertising that some of the teams have partnered with them.
So. Yeah, and Orion made the point earlier this week that the Disney stock, on the heels of this huge Star Wars opening, which they have a big piece of the movie, actually went down because ESPN's not making any money, comparatively. So ESPN needs to make their DraftKings money to make their stock price work.
Yeah. Does this set a weird precedent, though, I guess, for illegal office pools all over? Not that any of those happen here with anybody we know. Of course.
Yeah, Watercott's running an illegal gaming operation.
Does that set a weird precedent, though, Pat?
I think it's not apples to apples. There's a statutory framework on gambling. And all those office pools, yeah, they technically are probably illegal. But everybody does them. But it's just a matter of what they're going to force and more importantly, what they can tax.
That's the thing. Come up with a tax structure, and you can get away with just about anything.
Yeah. Especially in a bankrupt state.
Yeah. Amen to that. Well, have fun out there, man, and enjoy the kids and the time you have, and we'll see you when you get back.
Hey, I got a Christmas present for you, and I know you'll appreciate this. I'm playing golf the day after Christmas.
So oh, happy Christmas to me. Mary, where are you playing?
I think I'm going to play that Coronado course, yeah, the public course.
Good course.
Keep an eye on the kids. Yeah, it'll be good.
All right, say hi to your family.
Thanks. See ya.
Merry Christmas, man. See ya. At @Pat_Brady. Good guy. Even though many of you hate him on Twitter. It's 728. We're back after this on 720 WGN. All right, I have Hawks tickets, and they are hockey tickets. And for when? Is it Sunday night?
Yes, it is. It's a pair for Sunday night's game.
Kev, you're going to be at that game.
I'll be at that game, yeah.
And we've hidden a Huck. Wow. Until it's the last day before vacation.
Hey, Christmas.
We've hidden a puck in someone's pants.
Careful.
Okay. You ready?
Okay. Is this the clue? The okay.
Clue number one, this person's a Chicago native. Any guesses?
I know who it is.
This is really all it takes. Usually I get out the first three words of the clue and somebody gets it.
How about, can you say if it's a male or a female?
I can. Yes, I can say.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
Oh, you want to actually know?
Yeah.
I thought you meant could I say that. Yes, I can, but I'm not prepared to say that yet.
Okay.
This person's a multifaceted entertainer. In other words, they entertain on many platforms.
It's not you.
It's not me. Okay. But it's someone internet, they can do television, they can do radio, they can do stage, they can do writing, they can do all of it. Okay? This person originally was in med school.
Med school.
Yeah. Yeah.
So studying.
And at Northwestern University.
Oh,
go,
I know.
Go Cats.
You, Mary, you know?
I do.
Well, you can't win. So don't say it yet.
Medical school. Oh, Andrea, you know this.
So, somebody texted in Rokan, and then when you said they were initially in medical, med school, and sent a text right after. Okay, not Rokan.
Ro already had the puck in his pants, remember?
Ro is in hypochondriac school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chicago native, multifaceted entertainer, original track was med school.
Yes. Well, okay. This is an interesting twist, too.
All right. So there you go. It's 7:32. Let's get to the big story. Dave Schwann, unless you want to just spend the news guessing who this might be. Dave.
I've been trying to guess. I have some names, but...
Dave, you seem a little uncomfortable. Is there a puck in your pants, possibly? Maybe it's just a camera
I'm not
angle.
Prepared to say this.
All right. All right, 7:43. As usual, this audience is too smart. And there was someone who stepped up, Lisa, standing by. Stepped up and guessed just based on these clues. A Chicago native, a multifaceted entertainer, originally track med school. And they guessed it correctly from
I
that.
I can't believe that. I mean, that could be not almost anyone, but that's pretty broad.
We'll get to the winner in a second. Please reveal who has a puck in their pants.
Hi, I'm Patty Vasquez, and I have a puck in my pants. Actually, they're in my Spanx, which are in my pants. It's very snug in here.
She has a puck in her Spanx.
Which is funny because if you've seen her stand-up routine, yeah, she talks about Spanx. Her Spanx. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's very snug in here.
We got a Lisa here, Lisa Haas. Lisa, how did you know that?
Good morning, Stephen. Morning show team.
Hey.
I knew everything except the med school clue applied to Patty.
Wow.
And I'm desperate for Hawks tickets, so
well, you got them.
Thank you.
You got them for Sunday night. And by the way, the other clues were going to be the following. A proud alum of Illinois. She's Lina. I would even go to the extent of went to Lane Tech with Anna DeVolantis.
She did?
Yeah, did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
Were they friends in high school? Were they in the same clique?
I think they were in rival gangs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And if we went far enough, comedian, actress, writer, and about to shoot into a pilot for ABC.
But you gave two clues, and Lisa got it.
Lisa, yeah, Lisa, amazing Lisa. Who are you going to take to the game?
I haven't decided yet.
All right, I'll pick you up. Stand by.
All right.
I was going to say, I'm free.
Lisa Haas, and congratulations. Who brought us this, Kev?
Thanks to Four Seasons. She'll also now be entered to win Four Seasons tickets for next year. Again, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons, find them online at Four Seasons. HeatingCooling.com or on Facebook. Thanks to them.
Texter says, Steve, I canceled a December weekend trip to Chicago, and two other couples from our church did the same thing. We live in Holland, Michigan. Look forward to staying in Chicago and shopping Michigan Avenue a couple times a year, but not now. And then somebody else said, the ministers who are doing this are not dumb. I didn't say the ministers are dumb. I said the idea is dumb. And as far as an alternative suggestion goes, again, and I've said this, and I said it a minute ago, go to Mayor Daley, go to Mayor Emanuel's front step, sit at City Hall, do whatever you can to not interrupt the public. You will get TV coverage, and go after the people you want to affect the most, the politicians. You don't have to stop traffic to do that. Yeah, I got that. Listen, 7:46. We'll come back with Hamp. Hamp in just a second on your Chicago Bears and the rest of the NFL. Before, in a game tonight where one of the greats in the National Football League will play his final home game. At 7:46, Mary, where are the cars right now?
An animal!
Dan Hamp anchors a young Bears defense.
Sponsored by Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy Dealers. Dan Hampton, Hall of Famer. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas to you, and I, like everyone else, is kind of hoping we can get this season over with and get started on next year.
I also want to say, and I know you join me in this, Merry Christmas to our friend Mike Hillstrom and everybody at Select Marketing and all the Chevy dealers, too, who support this.
The greatest folks in the world. They've stuffed a lot of stockings in their day.
Yes, amen to that. You love a great defensive effort. You love a guy who's willing to fly around the football field, take those hits, play like the animal that Dan Hampton was on the football field. What's your thought about this outgoing Oakland Raiders defensive back who looks like he could play for another 5 years?
Well, the amazing thing is, you know, when it's your time to go, you're going to be... Normally, it's like you're stumbling out, and you're thankful for the amount of you know, time you got in the league. As the great Ed Obradovich once said, you play your butt off for 10 years, and maybe you'll get a year or two as a slider. Charles Woodson made the Pro Bowl this year.
Yeah, how about that?
Great. He's playing great. And, you know, he started in Oakland, and then we had to fight him in Green Bay for all those years. I don't know. I guess it's his time. He wants to go. But most of the time, you know, the team's kind of like saying, thanks a whole lot, but, you know, don't let the door hit you. This kid, you know, he's still playing great. It's unbelievable.
How old is he, Dave?
Woodson is 39.
39 years old, second in the league in takeaways and playing like a 22-year-old.
And a lot of, you know, we saw the Raiders here. The only game we actually won in Chicago this year was against the Raiders. And normally he is a fly in the ointment with our beloved quarterback. But, you know, it was it wasn't to be. And maybe that's why he's saying I need to retire. I couldn't intercept Jay Cutler three times when I played him.
But he had one, I think, didn't he?
I think he did have one. I think you're right.
You know, and the Bears ended up winning at the end. Hamp, what's your thought on, you know, Matt Forte came out yesterday and said what I guess everybody's sort of been thinking, that it doesn't sound like he's going to get a new deal from the Bears, that this is going to be it for him, two more games, and he thinks the team will, at least he's not holding out much hope, although he would like to stay, that he would stay. Do you see any scenario in which the Bears would bring him back?
Possibly. You know, at some point you have to do the evaluation that what's best for the team. And we all know that Matt Forte has been a good teammate. He hasn't, you know, caused any trouble. He's been very dependable. He set an NFL record for catching passes out of the backfield last year. But when you strip it away, it's pretty obvious which way they're going with the direction of this offense. And I think Langford got more touches than Forte a week ago. Mm-hmm. And you can probably expect to see that the next 2 weeks. But, yeah, I think that there, you know, if he wanted to take, you know, we always hear about the hometown discount. Well, if he wanted to take a big one, there's a chance he could be here. But Kadeem Carey and Langford have basically proven, hey, we're good enough. And, you know, we all know that this team has a lot of spots that have to be addressed. And that's just, you know, if you wanted to put the franchise tag on him, I think, what is it, 12, 13, 14 million for a running back? And you've got one that you like as well, but you're paying basically the minimum. So I don't think we'll see Matt Forte back.
That's too bad. It's just business, but there's really no way to make the math work unless something dramatic happens, and I don't know what that would be.
Well, you know, the injury is the only thing. And, you know, that's, of course, nobody wants that and don't want to bring up that sphere, but that's the reason, you know, running backs around the league. But, see, the Houston Texans, they lost their starting running back this year, and they never were able to find anyone else. So there's a spot for Matt Forte. I don't know where it's at, but you know, he'll have a job in the league. It's just unfortunate for him that, hey, he put in, what, 7, 8, 9 good years here, and they found a fourth rounder that they think can do the job.
Speaking of injury, Alshon Jeffrey missed practice yesterday. He's missed 5 games this year. Another situation in which the Bears have to make a decision. Do you see him being a candidate maybe for the tag?
Boy, you know, it looks to me like that's what's going to happen. But, I mean, that's going to be $16, $18 million for, you know, the franchise tag on a receiver. But has Alshon shown that you could, you know, I think, what is it, 40 to 45 million total package that you would have to put on him if you did re-sign him? And has he proven that he can be hardy enough to help and play each and every week in order to get that type of a package? I don't know. And that's part of the strategy of Ryan Pace that we're going to see is, you know, hey, sooner or later, you're going to have to start taking care of these hometown boys. You know, Alshon was drafted by the Bears. Matt was drafted by the Bears. A lot of teams like to take care of their own. Has Alshon done enough, especially this year? This is the year that you know, he needed to step up. Brandon Marshall's gone. We needed him week after week after week. Did we get him? Nah, I think, what was he, special, 3 weeks in a row? 3 weeks in a row doesn't make a season, so I don't know how they're going to handle it, but it's going to be interesting.
The rest of the league is shaping up for the playoffs, which we're going to miss again this year. Do you agree that we're getting into a situation now next season based on the improvements we saw this year? It's a completely reasonable expectation by Bears fans that a wild card ought to be where these Bears are next year.
Yeah, there's, you know, expectations are always going to be there. But I've got to tell you, I think this was, what, 5 years in a row we haven't made the playoffs. You know, back in the old days when I was on the team and we were bad, it was, you know, we didn't miss it five in a row. So, you know, I guess you'd have to say that, you know, what we saw in the middle of the season, you know, we started out 0-3, and then they got back in it, and they started making everyone believe, hey, they're not only pretty good, but, hey, they can make something out of this season. They can get to the playoffs, and we all bought in. And then we had, you know, this three-game losing streak since the Packer game where it makes you start scratching your head saying, are they on the right? You know, I thought they were on the right track. Now, are they really? So I think they will. I really do. You know, obviously not having Kevin White, all the injuries on defense, having to switch to defense without the proper personnel. A lot of things, you know, the offensive line was upside down until October, and then they started playing better the last 2 weeks. They've fallen apart. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, they kind of crawl out of the wreckage and get ready for next year. But we've seen that not only can we compete with a lot of the good teams in the league, but, you know, we've got to be able to close the deal and beat teams when we have them down. And you know, what is it, five games this year that we've basically just frittered away. So will it be in the playoffs? If you start adding up those ones that got away, sure,
yeah,
that would make them eligible.
And, Dave Bennett, again, I'm using you as my Wikipedia.
Yes.
Cutler's 32.
Yeah, it's just about 32, I think.
So there's no reason to believe he doesn't do two or three good, more good years to fill out this contract.
Some of these guys can play till they're 40.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks, I mean, isn't that the one position, Hap, where sometimes a guy, when he hits his mid-30s, if he survives to that age,
right,
in the league,
right,
then all of a sudden he kind of finds a different gear.
Well, if I'm Jay Cutler, I'm using Carson Palmer as an icon. Carson Palmer has played, you know, the only reason he won't win the MVP this year is because of Cam Newton. But otherwise, he has been astonishingly good.
Yep.
And I think Carson's 35 or 6. And so your point is exactly, you know, valid. Hey, you know, if you can play quarterback in your 20s, great. Well, that's really something special, but you ought to expect the quarterbacks to really be good in their 30s, because after you've seen all the defenses and all the different computations of, you know, different types of coverage, then it's got to make you even better down the stretch. So, you know, Jay Cutler, to me, the way he's played this year, it's the best he's played since he's got to Chicago. We know he made a Pro Bowl in Denver a long, long time ago. But he looks to me like not only has he gotten better since he's, you know, this year has started, but there's still room for growth. And he can only get better. So, yeah, I'm not worried about Jay Cutler. You know, finally, it looks like we do have a definitive quarterback at this spot.
Remember Steve DeBerg?
So mid four, I think he was 44.
He was 73 when he retired. Steve DeBerg and I'm trying to think. Well, you know, a lot of these guys.
George Blanda.
Yeah, Blanda is still playing. Yeah, Blanda's still in the league. We'll get to the projections in just a second. You don't get to the Hall of Fame without hitting more people than hit you, or at least hitting them harder. And Hamp certainly did that. But Hamp, this weekend, the movie Concussion opens with Will Smith. It's making a lot of noise and rocking a lot of boats in the NFL already. If we believe that CTE is legitimate, and we have the medical basis to believe that, a lot of guys you know, a lot of guys you played with have suffered. You certainly played against guys who are now gone. And like in Dorison's case, took their own life. What's your state of concern for, you know, guys you know and love going forward with this, and is the NFL doing enough about it?
You know, I got to tell you, I'm not going to see the movie. I have heard it's full of inaccuracies, and there's a lot of just pure fiction in it.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that John Mackey did not suffer from the CTE problems that a lot of people around the league have talked about, but I just got to say that I'm having a hard time understanding that Dick Butkus is 75 years old, and when I talk to him, he's perfectly fine, and nobody ever hit anybody harder than Dick Butkus. When I talk to Doug Plank and Gary Fensick, they're 62, and they remember conversations that we had 35 years ago. So why does someone develop, you know, situations where, you know, you could say these are CTE type problems, and then other guys it doesn't seem to affect them. I will tell you this, that Hubarkis and I were in the green room yesterday before we was doing Pro Football Weekly, and as much as, you know, the doctors and the neurosurgeons and all that want to tell you that, you know, oh, well, we found CTE, they can't tell the difference between CTE and Alzheimer's type of deterioration.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. Was a lot of these symptoms, you know, prevalent in certain individuals? Was it accelerated by the force of the contact in football? I don't know. But I do know this, that there's a lot of people that, you know, interested in which way this thing goes because of, you know, the legal part of it, where sure. There's cases filed. There's lots of money that a lot of folks are kind of thinking, well, we're going to be in line for. And so anytime you introduce that part of it, you know, maybe the truth is not always prevalent. But I don't know. I'm not going to see it. But like I said, I still have so many, many, many questions about, you know, the whole sphere of the CTE thing.
And don't indict the game. There may be some skull structures, brain structures, people who could be more susceptible. Certainly, you can always try to make the game safer if you can keep the integrity of the game whole. But you're saying, if I'm hearing you right, you're saying don't indict the game entirely.
Pretty much, Steve. And you know, if you've got little bitty small children, don't put them in football. That's not, you know, put them in gymnastics. You know, certain people just not made to play this game.
That's
and
true.
Maybe somebody that from junior high and high school are developing concussions and those type of issues. Maybe the game's not for them. I'll tell you this. Got a nephew. He's a football coach. When all this stuff came out 2-3 years ago, all the players were on online looking at it. And the coach said after 3 days, he had 60 kids out for practice. After 3 days, 32 of them had concussions. They couldn't practice. So,
wow.
So, you know, I don't know what the truth is, but I'm sure we're going to find out an awful lot more here in the next few years about it.
Yeah, have you got a kid that was a big kid in junior high who's now trying to play offensive line in high school at 168 pounds? Pick a different sport.
There you go. And like I said, you know, it's unnatural. You know, people, you drive down the interstate, you see little kids playing baseball in the park, you see them playing basketball. You don't see them out there running into each other full speed. You know, it's just a different gig. And and a lot of people may not be equipped to play it. I don't know how this concussion thing is going to shake out, but like I said, it's amazing to me that so many players, don't seem to have many effects.
Dan, by the way, played high school football while he was still in the band. He actually had his instrument with him. He would sack a quarterback and then play three songs.
Yeah, that's what I played the sax. Get it?
It all ties together. Hey, Merry Christmas to your family, bud. It's so great having a chance to have you on the show. And as your friend, it's more important just to stay connected. And we don't get a chance to see each other very much unless it's summertime and maybe on the golf course here and there. So this is always fun. And I hope you have a great Christmas. And I hope somebody gets you something that you want. I'm picture you on one of those hoverboards.
No, that's a broken leg coming right there. Hey, Merry Christmas to all of my dear friends there at WGN, and God bless you. Hopefully we play better next year.
Well, we got plenty to talk about in the playoffs. Here you go. Santa Hamp. We're back with the news in a moment on 720 WGN. Andrea's putting
ladies and gentlemen,
Dan Richards is from Channel 9.
Places
of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Right now, while we talk, Dean, Andrea's trying to put a man bun on my head.
That sounds like code for something else.
It looks like a man ponytail first.
Oh, there you go.
Did you put it on my headphones?
She's using duct tape?
She's putting it on my headphones. So should I put the headphones on now?
Oh, that's attractive.
Okay, hold on.
I'm imagining that you look.
Does it look hot? Is it hot?
I'm not sure that hot is exactly the word, Steve.
Does it look hot, Andrea? Is it good?
It totally looks hot. It's very trendy. Dean, I got one for you as well.
Oh. But here's the problem. I think, because I thought you almost wore it as a chin strap, but the man bun, you actually have to have some hair to attach it to, right?
That's what I was wondering, how you got yours to stay on.
I put it on his headphones.
Because you were trying to find hair long enough to attach it, and the only hair you could find long enough was in my ears.
I may put mine on my chest. I'm Greek.
With the chest hair.
Yeah. From this angle, in this lighting, it looks like there's a ferret on your head.
Can we get a picture?
Dave is just jealous because I didn't get him a man bun.
No, I'm okay with it.
All right.
Steve, the texters are chiming in.
Yeah.
From the 847, man buns are for pretentious hipster a-holes. So
that's why I got one.
Yeah, baby.
Dan and I were in a band called the Pretentious Hipster A-Holes.
Yeah.
Great band.
It's a good band. It really was.
Trendy now.
Can I see the picture of me and my man? Me and my man bun. At 8:19. That's not good. Thank you for the man bun. Dean Richards is here. And
I'm bringing it up on WGNradio.com because I want to see.
Dave's kind of right. It does sort of look like a ferret on my head.
Get through the 10 minutes of commercials you have to watch first before.
It does sort of look like
the right color.
It
yeah,
does sort of look like I'm being attacked by an animal.
And you can pick, there's black if you have dark hair or brown,
you look like
gray.
On the web, it looks like you have whipped cream on your head.
Don't miss out your chance to see how ridiculous this looks by going to WGNradio.com and clicking on the video stream. So I'm coming by Channel 9 next week.
Yes.
Are you going to be there?
I'm going to be here Wednesday, right?
Yeah, I come in Wednesday. And word is I'm going to do the news and make all editorial decisions all morning?
Yep. Cut into any programming that you want. Yeah. Do whatever you want. Say whatever you want. Get the full Channel 9 experience.
Right. Right.
Get the full experience. It's going to be Wednesday morning. It's going to be, I think we go on at around 9:30.
Can you talk to Lourdes and make sure she and I don't wear the same thing?
Yeah. I think you may get a full Larry Robin treatment. I believe the A-team may be back next week.
Oh, are they?
I think.
I'm just concerned because Lourdes and Aaron McElroy and I all have the same fashion sense.
Right.
That I could come in wearing the same outfit. And then we're going to get into that whole who looked better in it. What is it called? Who wore it best? Yeah.
Isn't there like a kind of a, like romantic thing between the three of you also?
It's a triangle. Yeah. It's an isosceles triangle.
Extremely awkward.
Yeah. It's a telenovela live.
Steve leaving broken hearts, a trail of broken hearts wherever he goes.
Where do they see the man bun?
Slash whipped cream. Slash dream whip.
Yeah.
Seriously, it does look like an animal came and sat on your head.
Yeah, it does. It's a new circus animal act I'm doing. But Andre does this nice thing. She gets me the man bun and then sadly realizes there's no hair to tie it to.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks good on your headphones.
Madonna and Guy Ritchie are fighting. I thought they've been divorced for years.
They've been divorced for like 7 years now. But, you know, it's the holiday season. Time to stir things up again, you know, get things going. So this is what the deal is with this. They have a 15-year-old son. Whose name is Rocco, and he's been visiting his father in London for a while. According to the legal terms of the divorce from 2008, he's supposed to spend Christmas with his mother in New York. Little Rocco refuses to get on a plane to go back to New York, says he wants to stay in the UK with his dad for Christmas this year. So yesterday, Madonna had a judge order him to fly back. So that's just a beautiful holly jolly story.
It is a sweet, sweet story.
Beautiful, really Jimmy Stewart really should be in the middle of all this. That's how sweet this is.
It really is nice. I saw something come up with your future ex-wife, and arguably one of the most beautiful women in the world, maybe not even an argument, Halle Berry?
Yes.
That Halle Berry's exes are pulling together to like testify that she's a nightmare.
I hadn't heard that. I've had, you know, I don't want to say anything, but maybe the problem is all of them.
Yeah.
Because I've had nothing but pleasant experiences with her, and I'm sure the 10, 15 minutes that she spent with me cumulatively over the last 20 years, I can get a good sense of what the person is really like in that short period of time.
Johnny Depp is the most overpaid actor in Hollywood, according to a company that takes the average box office return and makes it a comparative statistical study. For instance, for every dollar that a Johnny Depp movie has made recently, he's returned $1.20. Now, you might be saying that's a profit, but not by Hollywood standards.
Because he's had pretty much nonstop flops for the last...
He really hasn't had a hit in forever.
10 years. It's been a long time since he's... I've gone from Johnny Depp can do no wrong to what the hell's wrong with Johnny Depp?
Yeah, I think in your position of authority and thump in Hollywood, he ought to be a little concerned about that.
I don't think it's just me, and I'm just saying it as a fan. I mean, there was a time when Johnny Depp could be in any movie, and he would add so much to it, and it would be so quirky and, meaningful and dimension-filled, and now it's just... What's happened to you?
Well, let me get some female perspective on this. Marianne Andrea, Johnny Depp, still cute?
I think he's still cute.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have to stop dressing like he's 23? I think he's reached an age where the cowboy hat and the leather chaps maybe don't work the same way anymore.
He wears a lot of rings. He wears a lot of
Yeah, the accessories
hemp.
Are odd. He's got like the bandana and the long
the bracelets,
chain.
The hemp the stuff
rings.
Going on.
He had his teeth gold capped. For no reason, it was like during the Pirates of the Caribbean shooting, and he said, "Oh, I liked it, so I had it put in permanently."
Wow.
Maybe it's the new wife. What is? Doesn't he have a new wife?
This was all before
the new wife, though.
The spin-off started before the new wife.
The crazy dressing. Seriously, one of the times that I sat down to talk with him, a couple of times I have said to him, and I think he thought that I meant it as a joke. When I said, "Who dresses you?" And he laughs. But, like, in my mind, I'm going, "No, I mean it."
You're right. Who dresses
you? Do you have a full-length mirror in your house? Do you see how you're leaving your house?
Right.
And he said, "Oh, I let my kids decide what I'm going to wear."
Wow.
So, it was all crazy stuff. And, he would have, wrapped around all of his crazy clothes and then wrapped around his arm just what looks like a rag that you find in the alley. Tied around his arm. I said, what's that? Oh, yeah, my son Jack thought I should tie this here, so I put it here.
Wow.
So, there you go.
And those commercials are so bizarre, too, where he's driving down the road and he sees, like, an elephant. Have you seen those?
I don't think I have.
Oh, they're weird. It's kind of like the
Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah, it's like the Matthew McConaughey ones.
Too? I haven't seen that.
It's the, like, the McConaughey ones where, hey, I'm driving down the road. But Johnny Depp does the same thing, except that when he's talking, it's in his mind. and he sees like an elephant walking down the road.
You know, speaking of commercials, Dean, I don't know if you've noticed this, but why does every perfume commercial have to be a Fellini film?
Did you see the Julia Roberts one?
Yeah, where she's attached by diamonds to something and she cuts herself free from the diamonds before she looks back alluringly.
Strings of diamonds, the way marionettes have... strings attached, and they are strings of diamonds, everybody. And I saw that last night for the first time.
And it's
about Charlize Theron, who can fly? Charlize Theron, who, by the way, very serious when she's wearing this particular type of perfume. She struts into the room very quickly and then suddenly flies to the top of the building she's in.
I know she speaks French, but it's funny when you see the other celebrities try to speak the different languages, and it's like, j'adore Dieu.
It's Pepe Le Pew. I don't know.
I love that the commercials are more entertaining than their actual movies. They're like their real jobs.
It's a true story. Yeah. Hey, the truck driver that hit Morgan Freeman's limo.
Yeah, make it Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan's limo? What did I say, Morgan Freeman?
You said Morgan Freeman.
No, Morgan Freeman. You know what made me think of that?
He was in an accident, too, though.
Yeah, and he hurt his hand.
Right.
Yeah. And wasn't he with his girlfriend then and the marriage went away? There's something ugly there, I remember. The truck driver that hit Tracy Morgan's limo is finally indicted.
He was indicted by a jury in New Jersey yesterday. First-degree aggravated manslaughter, vehicular homicide, 8 counts of aggravated assault. He was the one that was driving that Walmart truck when it crashed into the limo that was carrying Tracy, a number of his friends, including comedian Jimmy Mack, who died in that accident. The attorney is appealing it. Last August, the National Transportation Safety Board said that it was driver fatigue that likely caused that accident. But so steps are going ahead, and trials will now begin for this. Tracy Morgan came to a financial settlement with Walmart about this, but not with the driver himself.
The Beatles streaming for the first time. What are they streaming? The whole catalog?
The whole catalog now.
Wow.
Yeah, they've been among the few holdouts on this. You haven't been able to get Beatles music on things like Spotify and some of the other online music services. Steve, like me, when we want to listen to our Beatles music, we listen on our 8-tracks because we all know that truly is the best way to listen to music.
Yeah.
I love it, especially when an 8-track changes channels in the middle of a song. Still my favorite thing.
An 8-track, for you kids that aren't aware, is a giant hunk of plastic that would be put into a machine in your car would make this noise. Clunk! And then you'd know it was starting.
Right. With minimal tape hiss sound. You could barely hear the tape hiss. So much so that that's when cassettes were invented, audio cassettes, which, we thought were fantastic because they were 100 times better than the 8-track tape cartridges. And now, what a joke cassettes are anymore.
Are you looking on a video stream now?
I can look right now. Let me see. I'm seeing you wiggle your man bun.
Huh? What do you think?
I think you should stop doing that immediately. You do know that people can see you inside the windows, right? It's not a private. All those, that clear wall that's right to your left, people can actually see through that.
What? Really?
Yeah, people can see through that and see what you're doing.
Well, that's shocking.
That you're sitting there with an animal on your head.
And you have a Carson special coming up.
I do.
I thought you did.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
When is it?
It's going to be on 3 different times.
Tonight?
It's going to be on tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
Tomorrow afternoon at 4:30, December 26th at 11:30, because I know you like to stay up late.
I do.
And then January the 1st, it'll be on in the afternoon at 12:30 in the afternoon. Really cool look back at Johnny Carson. We went back to his old studio in Burbank. We talked with Doc Severinsen. We talked with Jay Leno, Joan Embry, who used to bring the animals on the show, Ted Koppel, remembering competing against Johnny Carson. It's a pretty cool half-an-hour special, all leading up to Johnny Carson, full episodes of Carson premiering on our sister station, Antenna TV, January 1st, weeknights at 10 p.m., if I'm remembering correctly, because I've only said it 500 times in the last 2 weeks.
Nicely done by you. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Same to you. Same to you all and to all of our listeners. We hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
And I'll see you next week.
Okay. That's Wednesday, right?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Wednesday, because we've got this big, you got this big New Year show coming up.
New Year's Eve for people who can't stay awake until midnight.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, originally we had Andrea do a tag. That's the last line of a commercial.
Yep.
And she was given the wrong script.
I just thought that's the way you guys wanted me to read
it. Yeah, so the last line was New Year's Eve for people that can't stay awake. I thought we were doing a show for narcoleptics. People be dozing off left and
can't
right.
Can't stay up till midnight.
Yeah. So it's for New Year's Eve for people who can't stay awake until midnight at the Rouse Center in Crystal Lake. Shows at 3 and 7. 7 may be sold out. If it's not sold out, there's only a few tickets left.
I believe seats are still available for that, Steve. I check constantly.
I'm going to keep wiggling my man bun while you do whatever you have to.
You do that. Until you need glasses, at least. What?
Mom was right. It's 8:31. We're back after this with the big story on 720 WGN. You know, before this Christmas Eve expires for us at 10 o'clock this morning, a story that came up actually on Monday that we barely touched on and exemplifies the best in humanity. There was a group of Islamic jihadist attackers that stormed a bus in Kenya in Africa on Monday. A group of Kenyan Muslims, mostly women, moved to protect the Christian passengers on board. Many of them took additional, and pardon me for a lack of knowledge of the terminology, but burqa-like clothing to give to the Christians to cover up.
Yes.
To appear that they were Muslims as well. When the jihadist attackers got on the bus and demanded to know who the Christians were, all of the Muslim women, mostly women, some men, but all of the Muslims moved to protect the Christians by clustering and saying, to kill them, you'll have to kill us.
Right.
And as they grouped together, the terrorists gave up. No one was killed, and they ran away.
How about that? They were locking arms, too, with some of these women, saying, if you want to, you know, as they tried to pull them off, you want to take one of us, you take all of us.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. We commend those who show that kind of heroism. And in a world that's separated by words and deeds, here's deeds that not only brought people together, but united people who are supposed to be, if you believe all the loudmouths on the planet right now, enemies. We're no more enemies with Muslims than Muslims are with Christians. It's the bad guys in the world that are the problem, not the good people, and the good people are the rest of us. So God bless him, man. That's a great story. It's 8:47. It's traffic. Mary's back with that. When do you expect it to heat up, Mary?
I would say noonish.
Because that's when everybody's going to be busting out, right?
Well, you know what? A lot of people busted out yesterday, is what I'm thinking. But it was raining, too, so it was really bad traffic yesterday afternoon. So it's going to be interesting. I think a lot of people did take today off as well.
It's like the evolution of the work
week.
You
never know.
I have a theory that eventually, let's say, you know, it's a year where Christmas is on Friday, like it is this year.
Right.
You're eventually going to have work days for Christmas week on a Friday that end on Monday. Everybody just backs it up and goes, well, you know, I was going to take Christmas Eve off, but I just left Christmas Eve. You know, I left on nobody's around that week anyway. I'll leave Monday after. I'm not coming in.
Yeah. The week's getting bigger and bigger.
Before we go any further, Kev, I feel like I want an apology. We're still getting set up for the music in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I found something that might even be better for you for Christmas. It's probably going to have to be next year. Are you familiar with Gold Belly?
Negative. Never heard of it.
Goldbelly, Shop America's top food makers. Epic foods from around the country shipped to your door.
Wow.
So I'm just going to go to the list here. You're more of a meat guy than a sweet guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let's go to the top meats, or as I would like to call it for you, your favorite list.
Mm-hmm.
So on Goldbelly, and again, this is something that is a great last-minute Christmas gift because you could literally get it today.
Mm-hmm.
You get these virtual e-gifts, and they can be sent immediately. Best-selling meats. You can get an American Kobe Steak Supreme gift set.
Oh, Kobe beef?
Yeah, Kobe. It's Kobe, isn't it?
Kobe.
It's Kobe.
Kobe. Way too fat.
Okay. How about a full-blood Wagyu beef strip steak?
Wagyu?
Yeah.
Why do you
two keep correcting me? Wagyu. Does that work for you? You like Wagyu beef?
Oh?
Oh, me?
Yeah, do you like Wagyu beef?
I find all Japanese beef too fatty for me because it's heavily marbled, and so I don't. I know fat gives it the flavor, but they, I think, overdo it.
It'll melt in your mouth, though.
You got bacon wrapped filet mignon to be delivered.
That's mignon, Steve.
Do you think you should keep doing this? Kevin's head's going to explode before 10 o'clock.
Now, here's what's sold out. The LaFrieda Burger Bash.
Okay.
From the Pat LaFrieda Meat Purveyors. The Gold Label Burger also sold out. These are things I can't get. But this is like heaven for you, Kevin.
Yeah. Can we keep going?
This is meat to your door. How about a sausage sampler for 10?
Oh, all right. Yeah, so anytime they say for 10... That's really like for 5 or 6 people, you know. So that's 2 days worth of sausage for me. That's plenty.
Buffalo wings delivered by mail. Brisket sold out. Sausage from Hill Country sold out. Beef ribs sold out. Traditional smoked turkey breast sold out. A lot of it sold out, including the Chicago-style hot dog kit. Sold out. But there's a bunch of meat you can still get. So if you're a last-minute type, not that I know what that's like, goldbelly.com is a place you may want to check out. Goldbelly.com.
Kevin's buying his own stocking stuffers, gift cards.
Well, we're hauling three beef tenderloins from here to Arizona.
Look at
for
you,
a
you little meat mover.
So.
You can bring meat on the plane.
Yeah. Meat mover and shake.
How do you send beef tenderloin on the plane?
Pack it dry. Yeah,
ice. We still.
You guys need a minute? Rachel, I'm Mike.
Look at you.
Because elegance and
meat. There you go. I'm going to get this out.
You know what? Why don't we take a break? We'll do news and then we'll come back.
And then we don't have to interrupt. Let me say hi to these guys. It's Rachel.
Hi, yes.
Rachel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Glad we're all set up. Good to go. And Mike, does Mike get to talk, or is this more of a Siegfried and Roy sort of Penn and Teller situation?
You can go over here and talk if you want, Mike.
No, I don't talk except for this right here.
No, I wasn't inviting him. I was just asking if he gets to talk.
No, he doesn't talk. He doesn't talk.
How'd you guys get together?
We both work at Howl at the Moon.
Okay.
Dueling Piano Bar.
And you came in as a singer. He came in as a keyboardist?
No, we both play piano and sing, but we only have one microphone and one keyboard. So we decided he will play and I'll sing.
Oh, I like that plan. And how long have you been doing this?
A few years, 3-4 years.
Maybe. What's the big dream here? You going to go be a big star?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really have an answer. I'm happy on WGN. I like
that's a
being
good answer,
here.
But why are we holding back? I mean, I want to make you a star. Let's do it. Yeah.
You want to be the answer?
Mike's your answer?
Oh, he wants to be the dancer, he said.
Oh, he's going to be a dancer. I thought Mike said, I'm the answer.
No, I'm just a dancer.
No way.
Mike's throwing himself out as a huge disappointment. So when can we see you guys or hear you guys when you're working at Howl at the Moon?
We're open every night of the week.
Wait, you're not doing 7 nights a week. You, personally.
I do like 4. It's kind of random.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, usually weekends I'm there, though.
Could you just text us your schedule as soon as you get
I'd love to, yes.
Mike, you too. Just text us your schedule so we know. Howl at the Moon is a ton of fun, so you should definitely get there for it. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. These guys will sing for us on the other side. And Santa Claus next hour. Are we taking more calls for adults?
Sure, calls, texts, all
that
good stuff.
Yeah, adult calls to Santa. Coming up, for those of you who haven't had Santa access. And before we're done at 10 o'clock, we have some classic Christmas movie scenes that we'll play, mostly because I'm out of gas. I got nothing left. So that'll be filling some time before 10 as well on 720 WGN. Cool as a mistletoe drone.
Oh, that would be cool.
Like a drone with mistletoe on it that you could just fly wherever you wanted to fly.
Be a little creepy, but...
Totally creepy. Completely creepy. Back on 720 WGN, Steve Cochran, Christmas Eve. And this is show number 557. In studio with us, Rachel and Mike from Howl at the Moon. And we were talking a little bit earlier, but how long have you been at Howl at the Moon?
I've been there for 3 years. Mike, about 10, I think.
Oh, Mike can't get another gig. Oh, he seems like a talented guy.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about him behind his back right here in front of him.
All right, sure. Let's do it.
You guys normally work together?
Yeah, there's about 8 of us at the club, so it's different combinations every night. But we're together a lot, yeah.
But you probably have, like, a keyboard player you like better than others, I would think, right? Okay. All right, Mike, it's not going well for you, dude. I got to be really honest.
I'm not listening.
Here during the Christmas season. You're not listening. But we're not here to talk about Hollow Moon. We're just telling you it's a cool place to go. It's a great place. You know, there's like 20 of them around the country. Do you know that?
I know. There's a huge one in Vegas. I think it's at the, the Las Vegas one?
I don't know which hotel it's at.
New York.
New York, opened.
Yeah.
All right, so what are you guys going to sing?
Some Christmas songs. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. How's that one?
That'll work for us. All right, a little bit of Rachel and Mike. I can't say much for Mike, but it's tough to sing at this hour to hit all those notes.
Yeah,
very impressive.
Tough. Thank you.
Did you warm up in the car or something?
No, just didn't sleep much.
All right. Congratulations on all of that. Did the wine last night help?
I think it did, yeah.
Okay. Do you recommend a red or a white to be in good voice the following morning?
Red, I would suggest.
Definitely a red.
She does a swirl.
Oh, she does. Oh, that's fantastic. Like a parfait. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a wine parfait. All right. Give me another one. What else you got?
Do Let It Snow?
Yeah, Do Let It Snow. Yeah, love that song. It's fantastic. Here we go. Rachel and Mike. Call it to me.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and a bright
nice. Now, listen, really good. Really, really
good.
You guys should, like, do this professionally. You know, I don't know if you thought about it.
I thought about it.
And I love Mike, but can we turn Mike down more? You can't hear you?
No.
Oh, stop it.
I'm serious.
I can't hear much of it either.
Well, we can't hear the piano.
It sounds good.
All right, we're hearing it.
You sound great.
You're going to have to take our word for it.
But Mike is reading his text on the phone while he's playing there. He's looking at his phone, reading all of his texts.
All the music.
You're returning texts while you play?
No, I'm like swiping them off. Oops.
Did you do an album called ADD? What are you doing? I like how his friends are texting. He goes, no, I'm just deleting them. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back and do more in a second with Rachel and Mike. If you want to book Rachel and Mike for elective surgery or bar mitzvahs or maybe anything else, let us know. I'm handling all of their gigs now.
Oh, I like that. Yes.
Yes, that's right. 919 and 720 WGN. Our new best friends, Rachel and Mike, are here, and we're been hanging out. We're talking about the tour. Mm-hmm. We got the tour jackets that are being made right now. What's the billing going to be? It's Rachel and Mike, right?
Sure, yeah, that works.
Are you cool with Mike and Rachel?
No, I think Rachel and Mike works better.
Yeah, it's probably better. Yeah.
Mike with Rachel, yeah.
No, dude, that's not rock and roll. Come on. No. when you sing, when both of you, because both of you guys sing it, when you're singing at Howl at the Moon, are people throwing out requests and you just got to roll with it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much how it works.
So you do you have to work on all genres?
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to sing?
Hardcore hip-hop rap, for sure. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Have we got a little Christmas in Hollis?
Little Gangster's Paradise at Hollis the Moon?
Gangster's Paradise.
Yeah.
I do rap. I like all kinds of stuff. Oldies, I guess I probably like a little better. But we do pop. We do everything. Top 40. Anything
well,
you
want. Well, what's oldies to you? The 80s?
Early 90s? No.
Oh, God.
I'm kidding. 70s? I like the 70s.
Oh, 70s. Dave, you remember the 70s?
Yeah, vaguely.
Yeah, the 70s. Dinosaurs roam the earth. What about you, Mike? What do you like?
I love the 70s. Here's Mike. I love the 70s. Beatles. We're big Beatles fans. Billy Joel, James Taylor, I love.
Yeah, Billy Joel's great. Yeah,
Joel.
And hardcore heavy metal.
And hardcore heavy metal.
But we do a ton of current music at Howl. That's what we do.
Yeah. You know, when they finish, let's give them a little Christmas in Hollis for a thank you for being here. I feel like I need to help you guys get booked or something. I mean, you know, how do they, can they just go to Howl at the Moon and look you guys up and say, hire you for a party? What do we do?
I'm not exactly sure.
See, we got to get you a plan because you're really talented.
Oh,
we got to get you a plan. Okay, hold on. You know what? That's actually the answer. If you want to have these guys come sing for money,
yes,
get a hold of Kevin, and Kevin will take it from there. And Kevin, your cut is still 80%, right? But you're willing to cut that to 75?
That works.
Yeah, you take it down to 75, won't you?
No. Stick in 80%.
Oh, you're sticking to 80. Actually, let me just give you a clue. If Kevin are managing you, you could pay him in ribs and chicken wings.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
And bacon.
All right, you guys are nice enough to stick around. What else are you going to sing for us?
You want to do Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas?
Why don't you do it? We'll wait here.
Let's do it. We'll do it.
Okay.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are as in olden days, happy golden days. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years, we all will be together if the fates allow. Hang a shine. Yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Wow, really, really good. I love your voice.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's
I
tremendous.
Love yours.
Yeah, you should hear me sing. I'd kill it. Yeah, yeah. Tight our underwear to hit those notes, that's for sure. And are you guys doing Christmas stuff at Howl at the Moon now?
Yeah. Well, we were Oh, Christmas, like, songs?
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
If it comes up.
What do you do when, like, a heckler comes? Like, at comedy clubs, you know, we get hecklers.
Uh-huh.
And you must get the occasional... Mike, I'm sure you probably get more of this, because I would hope people are nice to Rachel. But when people come in and they mean well, but maybe they're a little loaded.
Oh, maybe.
Hey, you didn't sing Just the Way You Are yet. That type of thing?
Always. Freebird. Lots of people screaming Freebird every night.
That's such a sweet song.
Oh, isn't it great?
What says love in the holidays more than Freebird?
Right.
Really. All right, one more, then I promise I'll set you free.
What should we do? Should we do it?
Yeah. Right. She's going to play.
I'll play one.
Okay, cool. You going to sing for us, Mike?
No.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, this will be me. Hang on.
Okay, we're readjusting here. All right, Rachel on keyboards. Here we go.
We'll do that that Mariah Carey Christmas one.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay, let's do that.
Let's get Kevin out of the studio. Be careful.
Bacon.
Oh, it's weird. The pedal's all screwed up. All right, we'll do this.
She's talking about Mike.
Oh, I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you. I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. Don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. Need to hang my stocking there upon the fireplace. Santa Claus will make me happy with the toy on Christmas Day. 'Cause I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. Baby, all I want for Christmas is you. Ooh, you. For much this Christmas, I won't even wish for snow. I'm just gonna keep on waiting, stand by the mistletoe. I won't make a list and send it to the North Pole for Saint Nick. I won't even stay awake to hear those magic reindeer click. 'Cause I just want you here tonight, holding on to me so tight. What more can I? Oh, baby, all I want for Christmas is you. You, baby. All the lights are shining so brightly everywhere. And the sound of children's laughter fills the air. Oh, and everyone is singing. We'll hear those sleigh bells ringing. Santa, won't you bring me the one? Please bring my baby to me. I won't ask for much this Christmas. This is all I'm asking for. I just want to see my baby standing right outside my door. 'Cause I just want you here tonight, holding on to me so tight. Make my wish come true. Oh, baby, all I want for Christmas, whoa, is you, you, baby. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. Whoa, whoa, oh.
Really nice. Really nice. All right, this is a standing ovation. We worked overtime.
Oh, thank you.
Really, really good. I love you guys.
We love you.
Recall Hollow at the Moon and get them a raise immediately.
Oh, we like that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys very much. Oh, will you come back? I'd love to
sure,
come back.
I'd love to.
Yeah, that'd be great. And then singing and playing like that this early, it's great. And by the way, again, if you want to have Rachel and Mike come to your home, your office, your corporate party, and pay through the nose, please call Kevin on the Steve Cochran Show, or just follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show and tweet him up real good. Nice job, you guys. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you for being here. Quick break. Come back, and we'll get the news next on 720 WGN. I wrote the lyrics to this a long time ago. I just felt it, and then I said, Steve, you got to make a hit. You got to take Christmas and funk it up one time, and then it turned into this.
December 24th on Hollis Avenue at the dark, when I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my God, a ill reindeer. But then I was yelling for the man at a beer and a bag full of goodies, 12 o'clock at noon. So I turned my head a second and the man was gone. But he must have dropped his wallet back dead on the lawn. I picked the wallet up and then I took a pause. Took out the lights and then it cold said Santa Claus.
Just good to hear the music of my people. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Christmas in Hollis. It's 9:45. For a moment there, just briefly, I lost the ability to tell time. I looked at the clock and I went, okay, big hand, little hand. Yeah. I saw you talking to Amy Guth. You guys getting ready?
Yeah, we are getting ready. We're totally psyched. We have, we're going to have Reverend Livingston on. Remember, we were talking with him a little earlier about the protest on Michigan Avenue. And just really kind of delve into why they're doing this today. Get a little background on that. And we have a group coming in at 11:30, Steve, the Cover Girls. They're kind of the rock chicks with violins. They're very cool.
Yeah. They're going to play? As well.
Yeah, they're going to play some Christmas tunes
for
us, too.
Excellent.
Then we're going to talk regifting, boys' toys versus girls' toys. Christmas,
Now, we talked about this on the air yesterday. You know, we're talking about great last minute and super last minute now gifts.
Yeah.
An Amazon Prime membership. Did I bring this up on air?
I think we talked about this off the air.
Yeah, the Amazon Prime membership. I don't have it. But now the more I look at it, the more I think, well, this would be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'd stream movies. Kev, do you get access to the whole library?
Oh, yeah. Everything. Movies. And the music's great, too. They have a whole music library you can access. You can download stuff for free and just keep it saved on your phone, or you can kind of just stream it from their music service. And free shipping.
And you get free shipping for anything?
Everything. It's great.
And
one-day shipping. And
yeah, the stuff actually gets to you before you order it, which is the great thing.
See, now that I did not know. Yeah. Stuff I haven't even thought of, but will eventually want, shows up.
It'll be on your doorstep when you get home.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting this now because I get tired of making decisions. So what if I didn't know what I wanted for dinner tonight? It'll just show up if I have Amazon Prime?
They'll find it.
Yeah.
They'll find it for you. You had a couple of good ideas, though, for last-minute gifts. You know, Broadway in Chicago, theater tickets, movie tickets, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, Broadway in Chicago is a great idea.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah, so,
just gift cards. I mean, my husband was at the Jewel yesterday, and everybody and their mother was hanging around the kiosk, you know, trying to get a gift
That's
card.
That's a great point. They
everybody
have, they
was
have
buying
gift
them.
Cards now for everything.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Stuff you didn't, you know, places I didn't even know offered gift cards that have gift cards.
Exactly.
There's a couple of services that I did not know about. You know, and I talk about this all the time off the air, but we should bring it up on the air more often. If you are struggling with what you want to be when you're a grown-up, whether you're 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 and you still don't know, you can invent a job in the era we're in. You literally can. You can invent an industry. You know, your creativity, you've got something that's been gnawing at you in your mind forever going, I just think this is a good idea. I don't know what to do with it. Do it.
Yeah.
It's not a wrong answer. Do it. If it fails, then it fails. But why wouldn't you want to? Like, here's a couple of them. You ever heard of Handy?
Handy.
H-A-N-D-Y?
No.
Handy is a service available in 35 cities in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K., all major cities. So I obviously assume it's available in Chicago. It is a way, think of Spa Finder. You know, you get a Spa Finder gift card, and it'll find a spa near you, and it turns into cash. You can treat it like cash at the spa as your gift. Handy will find you somebody to clean your house. Because you're going, I know they say they're bonded, but who am I going to have come in the house?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, you know, how many times when you're growing up did you hear your mom say, we're moving. I can't clean this house. We're moving to a cleaner house. You get a gift card for Handy, and it pays for the cleaning services. And if you like them, then you can, you know, have them back.
That's a great idea.
And they've already vetted the person who's going to be cleaning your house, right?
And I love this idea, TaskRabbit. TaskRabbit can be used to hire somebody to do anything. You got IKEA furniture, you don't want to put it together? TaskRabbit. You want to take down the Christmas lights? TaskRabbit. You want to do whatever.
So it's like a handy person.
Yeah, it's all the chores you don't want to do. But it's not just like, you know, hey, I got a tool belt, I'm going to fix something. This is whatever.
Like doing the laundry and stuff, too?
Do the laundry. Go to the store.
Yeah.
So then you could get a dog, because what's the one thing you don't want to do?
Oh, pick a poop.
Or walk it.
No, I'd walk the dog.
Oh, I wouldn't want to do that either.
Oh, I like walking the dog.
I'd play with the dog.
Yeah. Well, you don't really want a dog. What you want is a robot.
That's kind of true.
So TaskRabbit is another one, and TaskRabbit says available in 18 U.S. cities plus London. So, again, I assume it's available in Chicago. So just a couple more last-minute Christmas ideas.
Do you know there's also an app, too, not that you're ever going to want to re-gift anything, but say you get a gift that you don't like. I forget what the app is. Do you take a picture of it, and you put in your zip code, and if someone's a few blocks away, they say, oh, you know what, I need that, whatever it is, a Pandora.
Go get it?
Yeah, you can just, depending on your zip code, they can say, yeah, hey, you know what, I really want that. Kind of like a last-minute gift thing, but you're helping each other out.
I see. So they find it for you.
Well, right. Just hope it's not the same person that gave it to you.
Right. Yeah, that would be awkward, wouldn't it?
Good point, yeah.
We're really awkward.
Oops.
Uber, as you know, one of the things that Uber is spreading to, and I don't know if Lyft is going to do this, but, you know, Uber is the McDonald's of whatever industry you would call this. But Uber is doing every form of that delivery thing now. And Amazon, and what we were talking about to bring it full circle, drone delivery, maybe by the end of 2016.
What? So now what if you order a drone?
Would your drone drop off a drone?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. Mary, I haven't talked to you yet about this because you're on the seventh floor, but I have something for you that I'll be dropping off, so don't leave too fast at the end of the show.
Oh, exciting.
Yes.
And, I thought you guys were all going to stick around with me and Amy. I'll be here, Andrea.
We will absolutely be here. Yeah. Won't miss a word.
You guys are lying. You're
not in the air, but I'll be here.
You all are going to be like leaving 10:01.
No, it's not true.
I'll be upstairs.
10:05.
We've got to get home and start cooking.
Hey, Kev, what are the chances we could get? I know it's Santa's, but where's Santa now on NORAD?
I've got Santa for you.
Oh, you got Santa?
He's been on hold for like 45 minutes.
Santa's on hold?
He's in Japan, isn't he?
45 minutes, Steve. He's a little cranky right now.
All right, I need to take a break, though, don't I, before we come back and talk?
Yeah, we've got to take a break.
Oh, we got to take a break.
We can wait a little longer.
Come back and talk to Santa live from the sled in a moment on 720 WGN. Standing by. Did you figure out on NORAD where Santa is?
Santa's in Singapore.
Oh, let's go live to Singapore. And the sleigh. Good morning, Santa. Santa.
Wake up in the morning with those oohs and ahs. All those presents came from Santa Claus. Hello.
Santa.
Oh, hello, Steven.
Santa, it's Steve Cochran. You're in Singapore.
I know. I've got my Beastie Boys blaring.
Okay, well, whatever it takes to get the gig done, man.
You know, I wanted to tell you, people always ask me how I deliver all the presents. My new law firm / agency, Janetti Swenson, Peter, Bobby, Donnie, Marie, signed a new deal with Amazon Prime, so we're pretty pleased.
Amazon Prime, helping Santa get it done. Do you have to have an Amazon logo on the side of the sleigh?
I do. Oh, all the reindeer have it on their, it's actually tattooed.
I know last night you had to pick the reindeer crew. Rudolph still leading?
Rudolph is still leading. We had to switch one guy out. A guy by the name of Frank is now the third reindeer from the left.
Frank the reindeer.
Yeah.
I don't remember a Frank.
A lot of people don't know him. He's not in the stories. He's not in the books. Blitzen had a cold. I go, you know what? Just stay home. You've got coverage.
Yeah, and that's the right thing to do. That's the right thing.
That's right.
Is your favorite elf still Nipsey?
Oh, I love him. Little Russell.
Oh, Russell. Russell's your
Little
favorite.
Russell. No, Nipsey and Russell, they're twins.
Sorry, I was distracted by a vagrant outside the window.